Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, now I'm unmuted. That's a blessing. All right. If anyone would like to come in, if you have more testimonies, we're open for those too. You know what I mean? That I'm talking about elders. If y'all want to come in for those, I missed Elder Al. I missed many people. So, hey, I'm still here. Elder Lloyd, you with me? If y'all like to come in and give your testimony, elders, I'm open for that. All right. But
yes,
let's
sir.
Talk about it. They didn't tell me this in the church. Let's go down the line. We're going to start with Eddie. We have Eddie, we have Elizabeth, and we have Elder Abunazar. Let's first start with Eddie. 585 area code.
Shalom, elders.
Shalom,
all praise to the Most High.
All praise to the Most High.
Can you hear me?
Live. Yeah, I can hear you,
yes.
Eddie. Where you from? Your location?
I'm from Rochester. My name is Eddie. I'm from Rochester, New York.
Okay,
and first time on the show. I just left the church.
Brother, you got to turn me off in the back.
Okay.
Echo going.
All right, 1 second.
Hey, if y'all going to be on the calls, you have to turn me off in the back, please. Elizabeth going next, and after that, Abunazar. Yes, Eddie.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Come on, man. Let's go.
Okay, I just left out of the church. I can't. Hold on.
I have to come back to you, brother. Yeah. I have to come back to you. Sorry. Got to come back to you. All right, Elizabeth, you're live on the broadcast. They didn't tell me this in the church. How you doing, Elizabeth?
Elders.
How are you doing? The floor is yours. Where are you from,
sister? I'm fine. I'm Elizabeth from, I'm in North Carolina.
Okay.
Thing that they didn't teach, they kept drumming John 3:16 down our throat. And
okay.
Everybody, we got to love everybody and all of that. They didn't really teach us too much, but the only thing that they got right was they didn't let a woman preach or teach. That was the only thing that they got right. Other than that, everything was John 3:16.
That's what they taught. What we're asking you, sister, is what didn't they teach you? What do you know now that you didn't know before is what I'm asking.
Well, they didn't tell us that we were the people that the Bible spoke about.
Mm.
They kept telling us that we were Hamites and all the other nations except for, you know, the Israelites that the Bible speaks of. They didn't tell us about why we're in this condition that we're in. They didn't really tell us much of anything. Everything was all John 3:16, and I believe they quoted a few excerpts from Matthew, and that's about it.
Okay, sister, those are some good points. How long have you known the truth concerning yourself being an Israelite, according to the Bible?
Since 1989. We started off, my husband and I started off in New York, in Harlem. It's ISUPK, so, you know,
we've
been from there.
Oh, you've been in it for a long time. All praises be to the Most High. All right. So, man, there's a lot of ups and downs to this ISUPK. And you finally made yourself here with the Gathering of Christ Church.
Yes. We've been listening since at least 3 or 4 years.
Oh.
We also got in touch with the body here in North Carolina, and
great.
We're just waiting to hear back.
Okay, well, I have your number here. If you got in contact already, did he call you?
No, he just sent me an email.
Oh, okay, all right. So, Elder Amar, take her number down, and so I can text her number personally to Owl, okay? Let me ask you this, because, you know, I have to go back in those days. Were y'all there during the time where it was teaching the doctrine that the UFOs will be back by the year 2000?
Yes.
Were you?
We were there.
Hold up. Were you in the church in the year 2000?
Yes.
Okay. What do you
think?
What did you
think?
Right
before we left and moved to North Carolina.
Okay, but this is what I'm asking you, though. What did you think a day before the year 2000 came in?
That it wasn't going to happen.
Okay. But that didn't shake my faith at all, you understand, because really, a year running in, they started prepping people in case it didn't happen, right? And, they like to change their tune on that, but, it's all good. But I'm glad you sustained that one false doctrinal issue there didn't stumble you concerning our commitment with the Most High and its laws and statutes and commandments. So I thank the Most High for that. And we're going to, hey, when you're coming from that old school, there's a lot of conversation we have to talk about concerning doctrine. Because there's a lot of stuff that was just off that we have to discuss. And we'll talk about that, like the reincarnation and all this other stuff, that heaven and hell is a condition and there's no heaven and hell. There's no hell. If there's no hell, then they're taking the power from Christ when he says that he went and took the keys to that area to release souls for the resurrection. So there's a lot of false doctrine out there. And I don't know. Have you been in the academy?
Yes. I mean, this is number 10 or 11.
Okay. Well, you're fine then. You're fine. You know the doctrine then. That's good. Don't worry about it. We'll give you a call and, hey, welcome you to the body, sister.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'm going to go back to Eddie real quick because I know Eddie wanted to say something. It frustrated him that his phone wasn't working correctly. All right, Eddie, let's see if it's working now.
585 area. This is Eddie.
Okay, you got it together, brother?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Talk to me.
Yes, sir. I just came out of the church. I've been in the church for over 30-some years. My father's a pastor.
Okay.
And just pandemic, I had basically started feeling like they wanted to go back to the old ways, and you could not go back to the old way. Number one is Christmas trees. They never told us, read about Jeremiah, I think it was. Where they said going into the forest, decorating the tree. And under our bishop, we had a Christmas party. And I remember telling my father, I will never go back to another Christmas party. It was just the Most High was leading me from the church. And now I'm a part of GOCC in Syracuse. My
Praise
brother,
the Most High.
Alexander. They did have a body in at Brockport in Rochester, but I missed that one and was able to hook up. So I drive all the way every weekend to on the Sabbath to Syracuse from Rochester.
Because
there's a word. There's a word. See, when you started playing, when you were playing the background with the dancing and stuff, I didn't realize that was not biblical. It seemed to be a norm in our churches. And I said to my father, because I was an elder in the church, what if the government tells the non-vaccinated people to, that they can't come to church? And what would you do? He said, well, I can worship from home. But see, he was the one, him, my moms and all of them, everybody in the church just about, and mostly women, hardly no men in the church, youth are gone. And they don't see that it's drying up. And me and my father started clashing over scripture, that about the rapture. They're teaching false doctrine in that. And me and him clashed over that because I used to believe in that. And I started listening to Pastor Darby before he passed on, and then some others. And then I started following Elder Ricard, lawyer and so forth, you guys. And
okay.
I had to find me a body. So I'm waiting to get baptized. And I was just under Officer Gannon's teaching the other day. So I'm excited, you know, but it's the church is collapsing. And my father called me the other day real quick and got on me because there was a brother, one of our brothers in the churches, he said he was confused. And my dad said, don't mess with my members. You left the church, right? So leave it that way. I said, okay. I said, Dad, that you accountable to these souls? I said, I was only telling the truth. I said, I'm done with it.
Okay. You
know? So, but, those they're not teaching in our churches. The word says, what I'm learning now, I'm telling you real quick, what I learned now in the Hebrew Academy, out of 30-some years in the church, I didn't know nothing. I stripped myself of being the elder and the chaplain. I don't know anything. I come in humble.
Mm.
So I'm learning more now in the Hebrew than I've ever learned in my whole life.
Oh, man. Praise the Most High.
So
I'll tell you what. I'm sure your father is a good man. He raised you in the fear of the Most High. So there is some honor. There is honor due there, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Honor your father, and you know, don't disturb his congregation. And I'll tell you,
how
the way you interact with him, with the word, instead of clashing with him, may lead to a turnaround. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Right.
So respect your father's wishes. He's a man of the Most High. He's doing the best he knows. But the Bible says you can't put new wine in old bottles, lest it burst. Some information may break people, may break their faith. So the Most High can work with them in due time and just let them know, listen, I respect everything you've instilled in me, Dad. And a matter of fact, it was what you've instilled in me that led me to look further. Make sure you let them know that.
I did, and he left out of the Baptist church. He said that in the Baptist church, you had to be a Mason in order to be a deacon. My grandfather, I didn't know was a deacon. He was a praying man, but the Lord let my father out of the Masonic and lent to holiness, and that's what we got into. But I will say this. They came from a convocation that had this thing, and it says from Adam's rib to women's lib. These women, that opened the door for those women in Kojic to start preaching in the churches after I saw that. From Adam's rib to women's lib.
Oh, my goodness. Well, brother, thank you. I appreciate it. And you know what? We welcome you to the body. And, let's get ready. Let's get ready because we're in a spiritual battle and men like you are needed, brother. I really appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All
thank
right.
you.
I'm gonna place you on over, Ed, all right? All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Going next to the next call. And I'm glad these brothers and sisters are giving their personal testimony. Because most people would think when you're coming with a different doctrine that, okay, you're being brainwashed, it's a cult. No. These people are actually waking up to see the Bible for what it is, the living word as it is written, outside of the slave doctrine that kept us asleep, okay? And I'm glad these people are giving their own testimonies because what? Myself, from the beginning of this, showed an example of what we witnessed as children growing up in the church, hours on end. People just shouting and moving around and hitting the drums with no knowledge being taught at all. While the enemy is doing what? Putting drugs in our community, criminalizing our community, separating the families, doing all types of stuff. Criminality is actually rearing its head all in our community, but yet there's no spirituality in our churches to actually oppose the evil. We're not taught that. That's right. The church or the temple is placed in a vicinity to do what? To oppose the wickedness in it, not to excuse it. See? So while we were sitting there dancing and all that, the community were being purchased right up from under our feet. Gentiles coming in, taking advantage of us, pillaging us, taking our finances, setting up stores, buying our houses, buying our mother and father's property while we were sitting in church screaming and hollering. And at the same time, are we thinking that our people are Gentiles, Hamites, nothing? Other people are claiming to be us, going into the land using that political status to do what? Get incentivized and financed by the UN body, okay, finances and all that every year, do what? Finance that country. But yet, here it is, you can give money to the state of Israel while the children of Israel suffer under your foot. Nothing goes to the children of Israel, but yet if other people claim to be Israel, they get everything. And I believe that's a direct result of churches, our churches, taking our eyes off of the ball. Off of the ball. It's like we are so focused on civil rights, not realizing, no, we had a national right as Israelites, a sovereign right as Israelites, and we threw all that away for civil rights. I digress. Let's go to Lydia now. Lydia, let me tell you, the nation that have the state of Israel, you think they care about civil rights? We took our eyes off the ball. 302. And then I'm going to Abundazar. Shalom,
bless
Lydia.
You, Elder. Bless you.
Bless you. They didn't tell me this in church. The floor is yours.
They did not tell me that I needed to read the Bible. I mean, when I came in the church with my Bible, they would tell me to close my Bible, and I would have to go with their program. You know, they would hand us out, hand out was his own interpretation of what he wanted to preach about.
Control literature.
Yes. So I never.
Hold up, but that's not a cult.
Wow.
Control literature where you cannot see outside of his theology. And yet they're telling you to put the Bible under your chair and follow his philosophy. But that's not a cult, though. But go ahead.
Well, yes, and I never understood the Bible because he would tell me to take it home and read it, but I didn't understand what I was reading because I was expecting to come into the house of God to be fed his word, you know. And another thing is they never told us not to have relationships with members. I mean, I didn't have that experience, but I saw it in the church. You know, they didn't tell us that. You know,
they didn't tell you what?
They didn't tell the members not to have relationships with other members.
Oh, like, are you talking about casual getting together, or are you talking, because usually it's okay for people to marry each other in the churches. So what are you talking about? Okay, so they didn't dissuade casual dating in the church.
Right.
Mm.
I saw a lot of that in the church. And even children coming out of the church and shit. So, and that,
okay.
I didn't really like going because, you know, it was like the video I just saw. I mean, our people are so crazy. I mean, we go there, we shout, we jump. I got tired of getting hit and knocked down, you know, because.
Hey, sister, real quick before you go there, I'm looking at these sisters dancing, and I can't but help and think. I can't help but wonder what this white woman in the center of all of this sitting down is thinking. Like,
wow.
There's a white woman that strategically had placed herself in the middle of this nonsense. And I noticed that she was just observing this. Like, she came to church, and I'm like, hold up, is that a white woman back there? No, that ain't a light skin. That's a white woman. Probably a white satanic liberal. You see her?
Yeah.
And you know,
I see her. She's just observing.
And guess what?
Yeah,
she's not doing anything. She's just observing the nonsense. It's like someone, you know, just observing this spectacle. I'm gonna play a little bit. Hold up.
Wow.
Oh no, she got a little she got a little shoulder action happening. So eventually the spirit hit her too. A little shoulder action, but she still stayed put. But go on. She stayed put.
Yes.
Go on, what else you have to say?
It made me leave the church because, like I said, I was an observer myself. I didn't do all this crazy stuff, you know, because I didn't understand it, you know. But I remember one day going up to give my tithes and offerings, and one of the deacons hit me in the head and knocked me on the floor. And I was
what is this? That's abuse, ain't it?
Yeah. I felt it, yes. Yes.
You don't go to church. So, you don't go to church. You don't go to church to get Ike Turner. Lord have mercy. So you say the deacon went upside your head, huh?
Yeah, he went upside my head, knocked me down on the floor. Yeah.
Man, we could have a whole show. We could have a whole blog strictly on that. You know what I mean? Did the people believe that you caught the Holy Spirit or you just knocked out? What happened there? All right, you tell me to go to the next call. It's digressing into nowhere.
They knew I was knocked down. I mean, without any permission at all. I was just
mercy.
Coming up there to get my tithes. What are you hitting me for?
And get Ike turning. I'm going to tell you, they got some stuff going up in there. All right, thank you, sister. I'm glad you – welcome to the truth. And guess what? Before this, that church where you were Ike turning, that's not considered – that's not considered a cult, okay? To know the truth and actually read the Bible is cultish. All right, thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on the hole. All right. 862 area code. Sasha. No, matter of fact, Abunazar. Elder Abunazar.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how you doing, sir? I'm still on high from the 12-year journey, young man, but go on.
kind. Elder, I just wanted to put it out there, you know, no disrespect or anything like that, but I am nowhere in this shape or form. And Elder, I'm just a brother.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you was Abunazar from Florida. I'm sorry. Brother Abunazar, I thought you was an elder from Florida. I'm sorry. Go on.
Kind. I just wanted to say, Elder, something that wasn't taught to us, while I actually went to the church myself.
Okay.
It was just, I am from the Houston body, by the way. I just wanted to say real quick that something that wasn't taught to us was how important it was to build the next generation.
Okay.
You know, teaching the next generation as far as bringing them up in the way, the truth, and the knowledge of the Most High, that was something that was not taught to us. I remember going to the church, seeing my mother and my father, you know, going into the church, operating, you know, like how we saw the people in the church as far as, you know, jumping up and down, looking for a blessing, so on and so forth. But I that was one thing that since you've been operating and doing this broadcast was how important it was to just build the next generation, teach them the word, build them according to the word day and night as we walk, as the scriptures say, as we walk in the day, as we lay down, so on and so forth. That's what kind of stuck out to me, Elder, and I yield with that.
Yeah. You know what I did like? You know the part I did like about church, though? I got to tell you the truth. It was about, you know, this is where distinguished gentlemen or distinguished young men, you know, were actually severed from the rest of what was going on in the community. You put on that suit, you know what I mean? You're nice and clean. You smell good. You put on that suit. It did represent something
right.
in our community, though, right? Like that clean cut, nice suit. You know what I mean? It's like, listen, I'm trying to do something outside of just being, you know, being up in these streets. I'd rather be there serving God, trying to find him. And what I like about it is the sisters back then, I don't, you know, the modest apparel, the shamefacedness, a little dainty and femininity that happened and with the women in the church, and the men were always dressed well.
Time.
We're always dressed well. So I'm not going to just take it all and say there was nothing positive there. But all in all, I wish they would have taught the Bible. I wish they would have told our people, listen, Here's the reason why drugs is being ran in your communities. This is the reason why your families are being separated and have been separated since captivity, because in Deuteronomy 20:28, it prophesied like that. It prophesied that if we don't follow the laws, statutes, and commandments, that diseases would cleave to us. And look at it, sexually transmitted diseases and all that, because why? The promiscuous behavior, the operating without a law. If I told our people we're the children of Israel, it would have changed everything. And before, and let me tell you, they were slick though. I like how they did, man, it was slick how they did it. Because Israelites started to have an impact in the late 80s, early 90s. A lot of people started coming out of the churches hearing like, hold up, we may be Israel. And no sooner that happened, they began to finance the mega churches. They pulled out people like T.D. Jakes and all them. And what that did was, believe it or not, I call that particular type of situation, brother, it's like they turned T.D. Jakes and others, it's really the Walmart for spirituality. Instead of the mom and pop stores, people go to Walmart. Well, instead of your corner church where you grew up with your pastor, know your pastor, your mom and pop pastors, they made a spiritual Walmart with mega churches. And it sucked all the energy out of the communities, because those that had finances, that was to do good in the community, they all wanted to be where the limelight was. So that sucked all of the professionals and those that had anything out of our communities, and we were left with just people with nothing to fend for themselves. I'm going to tell you, it was strategic. The same time Israelites started teaching, they segued from the fire and brimstone to the mega church. They're like, we need to get these people out of these churches immediately who has influence. And they, T.D. Jakes, Creative Flow of Dollars, Creflo Dollar, and the rest of them led the charge. And that in of itself destroyed the local community churches.
Okay.
And you understand? That destroyed it. Because now it's what? It's no more than power talking now. What they're doing is presentations. Those are not sermons. They're doing presentations. They took the business model of presentations and did what? Move the whole sermon component out of the way. And became what? You got it. Focus teachers, life coaching. And through all of that, we lost what? Pastors. We lost pastors. Well, thank you, brother. Great call. Great call. I appreciate it.
Shalom.
Shalom. Sister Sasha. Sasha. Sister Sasha. Oh,
Shalom. Oh,
Shalom. They didn't tell me this in church. What they didn't tell you, sister?
Shalom, Elder Akar. It's a pleasure speaking with you. All praises to the Most High. I was recently baptized with a GLCC South Carolina body, so I'm really excited about being a part of the body.
bless you. Bless you.
Deacon Michelle has been awesome. Yeah, Deacon Michelle has been amazing. But to answer the question, when you did that live stream on Patreon the other day, this is a question that I thought of. They didn't teach me this in the church, you know, the live stream about being equally yoked with husband and wife. And I just feel like, you know, as a young woman, because I'm only 30 years old, as a young woman, you know, if I had known that, think about, like, all the crazy stuff that I've been through, you know, trying to figure out who would be the right person that Ahaya would send me. You know, we go through all this and that. If we had known the correct process, you know, as a young lady or as a young man growing up in the actual truth, we would have bypassed all the craziness, you know?
Absolutely.
And also to add on that, the proper roles, wife and a husband, I think that is so important. They never taught me that. And I grew up in the Baptist Christian church. So, honestly, I just started my journey in the truth last December. And it's just been amazing. I mean, Deacon Masai laughs at me because I told him, like, I can't stop watching videos because I'm just trying to gain all the knowledge possible. So I sit and watch everything. Like, I go back to your old videos, your old teachings, and I just think that that is so big. I mean, I have a huge list, but I'm not going to go through all of them. But that was the main one that stuck out to me because you just did that live stream on Patreon. As far as, like, you know, the proper roles of a husband and a wife. And I think that's really affecting our community with a lot of people that are still in the Christian church, you know. They're not being taught that. And we're just, you know, they just allow people to do whatever in the congregation. You know, they don't teach any type of discipline, rules, processes, procedures on how to do things. And I really feel like that's messing our people up. And I yield with that.
And that is a good point, because even back then, churches, well, really growing up from down south, you couldn't just step to a woman. You had to step to their father. Mm-hmm. You had to go to their father. Even if you liked someone, the father had to do what? He had to give the green light. He had to set the expectations for his daughter. Mm-hmm. And that's out the window now. And if the father wasn't there, who's next in line? A male figure in the home, or the pastor. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all of those rules are out of the window, which are really biblical rules where it's like, well, listen, in order to get a woman, you got to show your worth. The Bible says, listen, you must pay a dowry for her. That means you are invested before anything happens. Okay, so listen, if there's a loss, you're losing first. So the dowry was to give the father what? It's to indemnify the father for raising what? A helpmeet that's going to do what?
Mm-hmm.
Bring forth your legacy, your honor in the earth. He made her to make a legacy for you. So men in biblical times, they knew you couldn't just step to a girl because you like her or she liked you. No. Family, marriage is business. Marriage is business first. So it's like this. No, it's not. Because why? Sooner or later, the infatuation, the bells and whistles, the butterflies wear off in what you have. So it was like, no. If you want the wife, you have to pay a dowry for her. And it's whatever the father said. Now, she comes in with work. With work. Like, if you can't work to get her, then what work are you going to do with her? So the Bible says that president, and believe it or not, a lot of those principles we had down south in slavery, outside of slavery, when we were sharecroppers and all that. A lot of those things were inherent in our people even after we lost the knowledge of ourselves. But that was lost in the Christian church. And I believe when Christian church became more so entertainment, when it became a show, when it became more about the music than the gospel in the word, is when our community lost everything. Because you can't talk about gospel and the first thing come to people's mind is music. Mm-hmm. Right there, you have totally destroyed the whole meaning of gospel. Gospel isn't entertainment. Gospel is what? The good news to the children of Israel, that Christ came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So when we started paying more attention to the music side in the church and not the gospel side, it would all go downhill from there. I'm going to let you get the last word before I go to the next call.
I definitely agree. And I grew up in New Jersey, so it was a little different. Like, I'm in South Carolina now, but I grew up north in, you know, single-parent household and all that. So, you know, and the pastor wasn't there to go through that process, like me going through him to find my husband or whoever, you know. So I just think that's detrimental for our community. And, you know, the more people get into the truth, I think that it's awesome, especially these young kids, you know, because I'm 30 years old. Like I mentioned, I feel like it's a lot of younger people waking up. So we really need to get them involved with the church and the body so that way we can help them not go through what a lot of people have gone through. And I yield with that. But I really appreciate speaking with you, Elder. You've been amazing with my journey, and I just thank you so much for the knowledge that you kicked, because it's just life-changing for me. I mean, so many beautiful things have happened since I've been in the truth, and ever since I got baptized on September 5th, it's just been amazing for me, honestly.
All praise be to the Most High, sister. Thank you. Great call. All right, I'm going to place you on hold, okay? All right, you're welcome.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not just with young women, young men, too. It seemed like we were just trying to find our way as we went along. But obviously, the Most High understood our intent, and eventually he guided us to the Word. Time and chance happens to all men. So we can't look back and have regret on what didn't happen. That's right. Now that we've received this, you know, what are you going to do with it now, right? That's where it's at. Because why? One thing that's great about these blogs and these conversations is that conversations are being had that wasn't being had before. That's what's great about it. The fact that we can talk freely without outside influence. The Most High is directing us back on the path. We're having conversations amongst our people that we never had before. And I believe these conversations lead to what? Resolve. It leads us back to the path, folks. And the fact that we have these conversations, I thank the Most High for it. Because I look back at it and I ask the question. This is what they didn't tell me in church. Everything that we're dealing with in the Gathering of Christ Church is what I originally went to Christian church for. I wanted to know the Bible. I wanted to know the Most High. I wanted to know who I was in the Bible. I wanted to know who the enemy was. I wanted to know why we were on the bottom and every other nation is actually on the top. Everything that I wanted to know in the church is what I found out here. I wanted to know about the heavenly tables. I wanted to know about the mercy seat in heaven, how that equates to what's going on earth. I wanted to know the Bible. Yeah, I love singing in the church and all that. I love doing all that, but guess what? It was lacking. What's next? 347 area code, Norrell. They didn't tell me this in the church.
Shalom, Elder.
How you doing, Norrell?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay. So, thank you. So I had a few things written down in agreement with the other ladies that were speaking. One thing they didn't tell us was to read the Old Testament, to read the law. We were in fact encouraged or dissuaded, I should say, from reading it. I started out when I was about 16 and I was in a Christian church. And it basically it was like wealthy off people that would come to like a soup kitchen. And my family, we were pretty much poor and my family would go to the soup kitchen. I was mostly in the streets. So when they found me, they were just like, you know, their heart broke for them and for me rather. And they said that they felt led to like bring me into, you know, Christianity. So that's what began my journey. Immediately my family, you know, they pretty much turned their back on me because they thought they called me a holy roller and things like that. So that started the journey. But once I started finding the truth, then I just was like engulfed in it and wanted to read. And then I would ask questions from the pastor. And at first they were happy about it. But when I went into the Old Testament, they basically said, you know, that was done away with and explained to me how Christ had come to set me free and not to put me in bondage, and that was bondage. And I still, that didn't sit right with me. And so I would connect anything I found in the Old Testament with scripture that I found in the New Testament, and then I would come back to them. And then they just basically told me I was being combative. So I stopped, you know, going that route because I knew that wasn't the truth. If it was the truth, I would have had the answer. So then that led me to go to the Spanish Pentecostal church because I'm Puerto Rican. So then the only thing I knew was that these people that my family told me to stay away from, you know, those women did dress modest. They wore skirts, had long hair, and things like that. So I started going to their church. And then I felt really good, but there was still certain things lacking. And then there you would see the things like you've seen with the falling out in the spirit. And I would wonder, why wasn't I getting that, you know? And I would never fake something like that. I read the Bible thoroughly as much as I could on my own without getting answers from pastors. And I knew that would be blasphemy, like, you know, pretending that you had the spirit or something. But many times, you know, I would always go up for prayer and, you know, pastors hitting you in the head. I had sisters catching me and pulling me and laying me down and covering me up with a sheet. And I felt, like, obligated to lay there. Like, what am I supposed to do? I don't feel nothing. Why am I on the floor? I'm uncomfortable. People staring at me. It was just so uncomfortable, and I didn't understand. I just was left with more questions than anything. And then I just kept questioning and questioning, and I seen everything that was happening in the world, what everybody would call conspiracy. But from real young, I found that scripture where it says, don't call everything conspiracy like that they call conspiracy. And I always knew something wasn't right. So I just kept looking into YouTube, and that led me down the rabbit hole, I guess you could say, what led me to you guys this year. And everything made sense. Every single thing that Ahaya had me question and he kept me from participating in, it all makes sense now. Me and my children, we're happy. We're looking to join the Philadelphia body. And, yeah, we all take this to the Most High. You know, little by little, we were finding out about Christmas. We stopped going to churches because of that. And when I finally started going back to the Pentecostal church after a few years, you know, feeling led to by the Spirit to go back to church because it just didn't sit right with me not to be in church. You can't know the truth once you know it. Then in the Pentecostal church, I was so rigid and so strict. Women couldn't speak or nothing like that. They would put people in discipline, which would be in the Spanish one, I'm saying, in the Spanish church. For example, if you wore a skirt that was too short or too tight, then you'd have to sit out. You couldn't participate. You know, you were, like, shunned, and you have to complete a certain time and stuff like that. Well, so when I came back,
if you can round it up, Nordell, because there's a lot of things I wanted to touch on. Matter of fact, let me stop right there because you got a lot there. So let me touch back on a few things, right? First and foremost, when they said that don't follow the Old Testament because the Old Testament can put you in bondage, that's what they said, right? The Old Testament and the law puts you in bondage. Sometimes what you have to do is you have to call them to task on that. What part of the Old Testament puts me in bondage? See because now listen to what I'm saying, though, and I'm saying this for the audience. Because they're not trained to actually to respond to you challenging that question. They're not trained for that. Because usually when they say, well, Christ, they usually use Christ as this magic thing to make everything else disappear without them actually giving you scriptures on what they're talking about. Well, Christ came and he freed us from bondage, so that's the Old Testament. Well, okay.
Name-dropping him or something. I'm that's saying, no more questions.
Yeah. So in good earnest, I can take that. Okay, I respect that. But what part of the law puts me in bondage? And I'll ask them. Because eating lamb when it's only a three steps away from pork isn't bondage. That's a choice. Okay, that's not bondage. Okay? So that's a choice. That's not bondage. I'm free to sin. Is that what you mean? I'm free to sin without being accountable for my sin? See, and this is what I do. When they quick to use that. Well, since Christ, the law puts you under bondage. And I'm following the law, and I don't feel binded. So what part of the law puts you in bonds? And I ask them. And usually when that question comes out, sister, you know what you hear in response? Crickets. Because they never even looked that far. They didn't even go into what they'll do in the Old Testament that would bond them. No. Mm-hmm. So you have to question that. Oh, the law puts you under bondage. What bondage? What? I'm free. I'm free following God's law. Matter of fact, I'm better following the law. Because the Bible says pork, and I just use, on a low level, I use pork as an example. I'll use pork as an example. I'm free to look at Leviticus, the 11th chapter, look at Leviticus to know clean foods. and I'm free to choose the clean foods that are not too far from the pork. That's not bonds. I'm not, I don't feel I'm under bond if I choose beef over pork. Okay? I don't feel like I'm in bond if I'm following the Passover, the day that Christ fulfilled, over Easter. I don't feel bondage with that. I don't feel bondage with following the holy days of the Bible instead of Christmas or Easter. So what are you talking about? See, they don't expect you to challenge that. And usually it's good enough for other people misunderstanding Paul's epistles. And that's what they use, the misunderstanding, because they don't know Paul's epistles. They use them to their own destruction. Mm-hmm. Okay? So sometimes you have to challenge that when you say the Old Testament brings bonds. How do you know when you were taught to not even go into it? Mm-hmm. Is that through experience or were you taught to respond with that? But go ahead.
That's exactly what it was, and that's why I would ask them those things. And once they didn't have a response, it was clear they would just say I was being argumentative and things like that. So that right there told me what I needed to know. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm going to touch on just I'm going to just name the things that I wasn't told.
30 seconds. I go to the next call. All right, go on.
The women's role. Wasn't told about the Sabbath, food dietary limits, demon possession, or the true last day signs, like such as God pouring out his spirit upon children and different things like that. And we wasn't told about not cutting our hair.
Exactly. Showing how a woman's hair is her beauty. Right? And going, really, that's all in the New Testament, Old Testament, and all that. Because I'm going to tell you, that's another thing. That's a curse. That's a curse in the Bible when it says that a woman should be bald. That's a curse.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're taught that to understand how to nurture ourselves and bring up ourselves according to the law, even sisters, when you're spiritual, you're eating the right things, you're doing the right things, your hair is your glory. It'll show in the growth of your hair. It'll actually grow.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another point that wasn't taught. But thank you, sister. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Salam. Bless you, Abba.
Welcome to the body. We have Sharon. We have a lot of sisters. You have a question and a comment. And after that, Lena, what they didn't tell me in the church. Sharon has a comment and a question. Then after that, Lena, I wonder where Sunshine is. She went on a hiatus. Where are you, Sunshine? I've been looking for you. All right, Sharon, what's going on, Sharon?
Shalom, Elder.
How are you?
Good. Thank you for asking. How about you?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahaya.
So I spoke with you before, and since I spoke with you, I got baptized on August 25th at the beach in Florida, and I met a lot of brothers and sisters there. Yes. What I wanted to tell you that one thing that I believe that the church never really taught us, they never really taught us how to pray.
Yeah.
They never taught us how to pray. Yeah, they never taught us how to pray. And by that, I mean, they taught us, you know, a lot of, you know, Jesus, 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 but it's almost like taking the Most High out of the picture. And one thing I found over the years in going directly to the Most High for very important things in my life, like when I was going through infertility and getting on my knees and asking him about it, and he answered very quickly with two beautiful babies. Right? Then I continued in the church, and I kept feeling like I was going behind them to pray differently than what they were saying. And at one point, I even told them, I don't really feel like we're praying on one accord, so I don't really need to be here. But I went to the Most High to find out the truth. No one came and told me. I told him, something's wrong. I need to find the truth from you. And he started opening the stuff like gangbusters. So I've been studying every single day since 2017. And the day that I ran into you and Loya, you guys, you look so young. And I remember exactly where I was standing. I mean, everything just stopped. And I started following you all. They haven't really taught us how to pray. Yeah.
Well, hey, welcome to the family, sister.
Thank you.
Now, Now, some people. Let me ask you this: do you foresee yourself? Do you see yourself for any reason going back into pagan Christianity?
Oh no, never. Because the things that happened that led me up to that point, I had literally made up my mind that I'd rather walk alone and let the Most High help me than go back into the church. And
okay,
I'm
thank you. And there's a reason why I'm asking that. Okay, there's a reason I'm asking that. But thank you, sister. I appreciate it. And I'm gonna ask. I'm gonna bring lawyer in for the reason why I posed that question. But go ahead. You have the last word. Go on.
What about the question? I had a quick question.
And
I don't want you to be mad at me about this, but it's a burning question. I know you had mentioned about the Mormon book and everything, and I'm wondering, is there any possibility, you think, that they could have taken writings that belonged to us in the first place and then kind of just jacked it up by adding in whatever they wanted to about us?
Absolutely.
Just wondered.
Listen, Joseph Smith did find golden tablets by the North American Indians. But here's the issue. The Book of Mormons isn't that.
Okay.
The Book of Mormons was created by the Freemasons, and they used certain information to give some validity to their satanic doctrine from the Church of Latter-day Saints. So they did take some information with some accounts, but the majority of the book is bogus. As a matter of fact, you can go online and see how many passages they took verbatim out of the New Testament and just cut and pasted for the Book of Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the majority of the book is a cut and paste deal. From the Old Testament and the New Testament, they cut and pasted verbatim in certain chapters to make the book.
Yeah.
So it's so convoluted with garbage by the Freemasons that you can't, you got to take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
thank you.
You got to, And some people say you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. There's nothing in that book that you can't get out of the Bible. So you might as well just throw it out, because I can break down the lost tribes of Israel and showing who the Indians are and all that in the Bible itself.
Yeah.
Okay. And guess what? There's more. Let me tell you. There's more information personally that wasn't tainted by the Edomite Freemasons here in America, like the Hopi Indians and their history and prophecy. There's so much more stuff that's put together that we can utilize concerning their history here, instead of Esau's intrusion and destroying those tablets with the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is straight trash. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's straight trash. Okay? And that's with me actually studying the book and knowing that some of that history in there is what they got out of the golden tablets. But the doctrine behind it, it takes you right back to Roman Catholicism. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Elder. I appreciate your answering that.
Thank you. All right. You're welcome.
You got it.
All right. Let me, Elder Lawyer. Let me see if Elder Lawyer still with
us. Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me bring you back in, Elder Lawyer.
Hold on.
Your video back. Yeah. The reason why I asked her real quick about, is there any reason she would go back into pagan Christianity? Because there's videos out there, not too many, where it doesn't make sense to me, where some people would say, I was an Israelite, right?
Right.
I was an Israelite, but now I see the light and I'm a Christian again, or I'm a Christian and I was an Israelite. And that's confusing to me, because it means to me these people never believed in the first place. Because being an Israelite isn't a religion. It's who you are. That's number one. And how can you say you left the Israelites who followed the law, statutes, and commandments only to go back into the paganism you were saved out of? So what, you're celebrating Christmas now? You're celebrating Easter? Now, I can see if they say, well, I can't get down with any group. I had a bad experience in a group, and I no longer want to be a part of those groups. I can understand a person saying that if he wanted to or she wanted to. It's your body. Do whatever you want to do. But there's no way a person can actually renounce their national identity as an Israelite. What say you on that?
Yeah, you know, we see it time and time again. You know, for whatever reason, people make the decision to, I guess, go back to Christianity or some form of Christianity. Why people decide to do it, usually we see it through means of offense. With us, it's never really started off. When I say with us, I'm speaking about people who may have been members of the body at some point and decided to go back. It was always rooted in some type of offense. It was never, you know, and I'm just speaking from what we know. It was never from.
Okay, your video froze. Your video froze real quick.
Okay.
Okay,
but right, let me try something.
Yeah, but I understand that one thing else I wanted to say about that is that what I recognize when people say, well, I'm no longer an Israelite. I'm going back into Christianity. You never see any follow-up showing what church they are a part of and where their ministry now has taken them.
Yeah.
You never see a follow-up. It's like they're being used as a prop to give a negative connotation or view on Israelites, but no one ever charted their progress on whether or not these people are better people now that they've made that choice. Okay,
exactly.
What church do you belong to? Since Israelites aren't the way, obviously you must have the way. What is that? Where is that church? You never see a follow-up on anything when really the reality is it's not them going back to Christianity. It's them actually showing vengeance and vitriol from whence they came, only to eventually go back into the world or become atheist altogether. I've seen that too.
Right, and that was the point I was leading to. It's usually a segue back into the world. You know,
yeah,
if this was wrong and, you know, you have a newfound truth in Christ and Christianity, you know, we should see the works that follow your newfound truth in ministry. But we never get an opportunity to see that.
Okay. Thank you, Elder Lawyer. I'll take a few more calls and we're going to just help me with that as we go through. I need you to get the scriptures where it talks about the three prayers that David. When you go into the Psalms three times for prayer, if you may. Man, what's up with this computer?
Yes, sir.
I need you to get that for me, okay? Let me just take the calls because this computer is...
Okay.
Hold on. All right. All right, let's go. All right. Going down the line, 321 area code, Lena, then Amia. Okay, Leah, you're live with the Gather of Christ Church. They didn't tell me this in the church. What they didn't tell you? What didn't they tell you?
Assalamualaikum, Elder. How are you? First of all, I want to say thank you to Elder Fennell and Elder Gabar to the Pittsburgh body with Elder Gazak and the body welcome us with the full warm welcoming, and I want to thank you to you for supporting Yasserat Clothing, and I want to say thank you to all the brother and sister that been supporting Yasserat Clothing throughout the year.
Okay. Praise the Most High.
And for say that, Elder, I just want to let you know that we with the Pittsburgh body for like a year now, and we have a workshop. We just have a workshop for men and women. My husband teach them how to do mechanic, welding, and carpentry. And I have a workshop for women to do sewing in house. And we're gonna teach our youngster how to do things hand on, like a skill workshop. And by saying all that, I want to ask you a question. Is any video or advice that you can give me so I can run the workshop according to TOCC guidelines.
Oh, well, that stuff has to be discussed on the outside of the broadcast. But what you can do is get with the brother there and have the brother contact me, and I'll do that on the outside of the broadcast. No problem. We'll talk about, because we do need tradespeople, really home economics, a lot of what's missing with our children today, learning how to take on trades. So there will be a place for that. All right. So just get the, let the brother know you spoke with me, and I'll reach out to you. Okay.
Oh, okay. And Elder, the thing that the church didn't tell me is I was with the Mormon, and they didn't tell me that Mormon people think of black people is the sin. That's why you're black. And they do also do baptize for the dead. And what TOC teaching is the dead is you cannot baptize for anybody. You can only save yourself. And when I'm in the Mormon, they let people baptize for the dead, and you know they just name people out, and they just dip you in the water like 10 times for 10 people. So I never understand that.
Yeah, the Mormon. Let me tell you, there's a lot of esoteric occultists, which is the right word, occultish behaviors and rituals in the Mormon Church. I mean, I'm talking about some. Man, they do some weird stuff. They do a queen bee ritual where there's a woman behind a white veil and other people crawl up into a space and all that in Utah. I mean, what made you out of all religions become a Mormon?
Oh, no, no. I was just, I was raised Buddhist, so I'm searching. So that's why.
You were raised Buddhist?
Yeah,
my
mom.
Oh. Let's roll this back real quick. Hold on. I don't know. Are you black?
I'm black. My father is black and Indian, and I'm Indian, Vietnamese, black, and Chinese, and Vietnamese.
Oh, okay. So now I understand. So you do have Asian in your blood that led you to the Buddhist side. I wanted to know that. Okay, so you went from Buddhist. I mean, what a contrast. You went from Buddhist to Mormon. Man,
yeah,
it doesn't matter the journey. The Most High got you here. All right. Hey, it's all good.
But,
welcome home.
But
you can,
one thing,
sister, you
one
can
thing
you can happened. Finally rest. You went from one pagan, one pagan circle to the next. But go on. It's okay. You're back home now.
Yeah,
go
but
on.
One thing I don't understand, Elder, that all the Asian. They claim they're Buddhist, but they celebrate Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter every year. And I asked my mother why she celebrate Christmas today.
I'm listening.
Yeah, she says she just like the smell of the tree. That's why she's celebrating. And I explained to her what's going on, but they still doing it.
Sister, it's not really the smell of the tree. It's because Buddhists, Christians, Arabs, Muslims, New Agers, at the base of all their religions, it's Babylonian. That's why. Because it's the same religion from the Tower of Babel, regardless of the geography. That's why a Buddhist will celebrate Christmas, because they were all worshiping Semiramis and Nimrod and his son incarnate, or Nimrod incarnate Talmuz. They were celebrating that at the Tower of Babel. So once the tongues were split, the Asians took that Babylonian religion. They just call it Buddhist. The Indians took it, and they may call it Hindu, but it's still Babylonian origin. Same thing as white people. They switch. White people try to hide it by calling it Mithraism. It was Mithraism first, and then it turned to Christianity. But it all comes from the Tower of Babel, where they were celebrating, that's right, the winter solstice and what? The virgin child, Nimrod/Tammuz. That's why. It's still the same God, seated at the helm of all their religions, And it's the same Trinity that they worship here on earth. That's why. Are you in the academy?
Oh, yes, Elder. I'm in the academy since.
Okay. Well, you would know that then.
After 7 years, I don't want to be. After that, I finally joined the academy since 2018.
Okay, praise the Most High. Hey, we got some brand new lessons coming, so I hope to see you in the next one, all right?
Yes, Elder. One more thing I want to say, that the workshop is not just for the Pittsburgh. It's for anybody.
Okay. Well, sister, I do have to get to the next call. I don't mean to. I got to get to the next call, sister. I will deal with the workshop with you, but we'll deal. I already segue off that. I'm going to get with you. We're going to talk to the workshop with you and your husband. I have a lot of people, okay?
Yes,
I apologize,
Elder.
But I got to get to the calls. All right, thank you. Bless you. 214 area code, Amia. I have to get through the call, so I apologize. Amia, 214 area code.
Yes, sir. Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you?
I am well. I am blessed.
They didn't tell
I know
me
you got calls.
No, go
they didn't tell me this. I would say number one, and because I have been studying with you guys, and I started studying, I guess, in 2019. Enoch, they did not go into Enoch. They didn't even mention the book of Enoch. Had they done that, we would have known about the angels, about heaven, and about hell. So that wasn't expanded on. And then the bloodline of Christ, they did not go into that. Then I noticed that the book of Jasar is mentioned in the Bible. They did not even mention that. And Jasar has so much information in there that we missed a lot. And I think I was saying that my dad he's 71, I believe. And when I was telling him about Enoch and about the things that I was learning, he was so interested in it, and I bought him the book of Enoch. And he's been reading Enoch every night. He's almost done with it. But I was so happy that he was reading it, because I thought I was going to have to read it, you know, chapter by chapter over the phone with him just to, you know, get him to hear the whole book. But, yes, this truth has been quite a bit. And he's my dad is a deacon. His father is a pastor. So we grew up in a Pentecostal church. So for him to even entertain anything outside of what he's been taught, I am so blessed that he's open to learn the whole truth and not just part of the truth. But he's learning, you know, through me, that there's more that he did not get a chance to learn. But basically it truly is. And they don't teach on Revelation like you guys do. As a matter of fact, they don't teach on Revelation much. In the end times, you would think that's what they would teach on a lot more now than any time, but no.
Yeah. I mean, I believe pastors became too dependent on the literature that's sent to them by these theologian organizations. These Jesuit organizations, like their sermons, their exegesis, their Sunday school. It's like pastors have become lazy when it comes to preparing their own, you know, literature or their own teachings. It's more so simpler just to pay your dues online and have these white satanic theologians send you information each week so that all of you so the churches are on page under their control. So now all of the churches are learning the same thing the same time by the controllers. And I think that's one of the biggest issues in our Christian church. They join these organizations, they pay a fee, and instead of in the spirit operating and getting information, the stuff is just sent to them by this organization who keeps them on code with the movement of the ministry led by Jesuits. So I think that's one of the biggest mistakes, all right, that's going on in the Christian church. Well, thank you, sister.
What I've also learned in the South, that they controlled our churches in the South, and they would always plant one person in particular in the church so that didn't go off code. They never taught outside of the scripture, because I can remember my grandfather teaching us that that Christ didn't have, that he wasn't white, but he didn't say he was black either. He just went with scripture and described him. But had we known for sure, I think that things would have turned out a little bit different for a lot of us, because we would have been able to relate to the people in the Bible.
How about this?
But thank you, Elder.
Before you go, I know there's a little delay, but how about this, sister? Great call. Like, in the late 90s going into 2000s, there was this rush on the Catholic Church, on the black churches in America and other churches to support the state of Israel. Now, I believe people should support whoever they want to. That's your business, right? But there was this designated push to say support Israel, black churches support Israel, right? And what I find ironic is that no one is saying support the Israelites in our communities. We are black people who are Israel, and there's no theological or theologian push by the mainstream Christians to support the Israelites who are suffering in our communities. And I find it ironic that our people will be first to support a country or a state that's separate from them while our people, Israelites, suffer in the communities. I just wanted to put that out there, because you can support it who you want, but you get a full people who get finances, subsidies from Germany, the UN, billions of dollars in finances, military, and everything else, but then the pressure is put on us and our communities to support that. And if you want to support Israel, what about supporting the Israelites in your community who are suffering, who don't have land, who don't have anything? See, and that's what I'm saying with our people. We need to come together, because people talk about reparations and all that. But these people were able to get this money by staking claim to a prophetic ownership according to history. And we just can't say slavery is why we need reparations. Slavery, no. The Israelites were able to spoil the Egyptians as Israelites. They were on code with one another and know that if it wasn't for Israelites in the country, Egypt would not have become rich. So if anything, we need to look at that model and say, well, hold up. Obviously, they know something. They, to get all what they've received, staking claim to what? An identity according to prophecy. We need to get on code with that and say, okay, if they can say support Israel, okay, they have the right to do so. We need a campaign to support Israelites. Every church out there must support Israelites. Who are the Israelites? The people who are suffering in your communities. You're telling us that we need this and we need that because of a cough, because of this, because of that? No, we don't need none of that. What we do need is what? True acknowledgement according to the Most High. Historical acknowledgement so that now a precedent has been set. If they set a precedent to stake claim to this, they receive that. Now we can use that same model to say, okay, what's up with us? What's up with our people who are suffering? We don't need there was no vote that had them get a country. There was no campaign. There was no council. There was none of that. They were able to say, well, guess what? There's no people in the land, which proves that land was desolate for a time. And we're here, and these people said, well, we're going to stake claim to the place since blacks aren't staking claim to it. So I wanted to put that out there. This is what we haven't been taught in church. The political power that comes with us staking claim to Israel as a people. That's what we weren't taught in church. We were taught to support Israel without them telling us who are the Israelites. Thank you, sister. I appreciate
that. Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Blessings to you.
Yeah. And I've seen when that campaign began all in our neighborhoods. I'm like, what's wrong with this picture? You got a people who have their own community, their own schools, their own synagogues, their own country, and now they're pressing us to support something while we're suffering? Support the Israelites here. They were putting all this guilt on our churches while our people are suffering in the communities. I'm like, what's wrong with this picture? Yeah, support Israel. I'm an Israelite. Sunshine, talk to us.
Hello, hi.
They didn't tell me
hi,
this
Elder.
In church.
Hi,
how are
Elder.
You?
Hi. Shalom.
Come on, talk to us, young lady.
Okay. Elder, I'm just so excited. Oh, Elder.
I'm excited.
Okay. Oh, Elder, the opportunity of many of the churches and focusing on the opportunity of many of these churches and focusing on the heads of the pagan temples specifically seems, like you said, an occasion to deceive the whole world. Whether the pastors knew they were going wrong or not, the change of the tide came, like you were talking about, from MLK onward. And knowing that I'm
yeah.
Israel has changed the entire scope of my life, because before, under the churches from Seventh-day Adventists who replaced Israel and believe they're the 144,000 of the tribes and spiritual Israel exists, to the Baptist, to the non-denominational, to my gradual downgrade to the liberal, be a good person in society, world, church, religion, I might have known, you know, some things about morality and civility and in some cases some Sabbaths, and but without the feast and the days spoken of in the Word, but I didn't take ownership of any of it. So I worshiped whenever it was Saturday, Sunday. The mantra was it didn't matter, especially when I saw the hypocrisy all around me of fornication and the envyings and the backbitings, dissemination, all the things that Paul talks about in Galatians. And I just followed what the person in front of me in the line or pew did, and I slept literally and figuratively. But as a lost black person, quote unquote, who had no idea who, you know, the true knowledge of myself, except that I was a born slave and Christ was white because they said so, I only aspired to be kind and assimilate comfortably in the pagan society without making waves. And to do so, I would become the best black acceptable white person that I could be. And I didn't belong. I never belonged, because I was the lost daughter of Zion. So I wore the mask, and in fact, I became it. So the spring off into every aspect of our lives as Israelites seems to stem from not knowing who we are, like you said. And in fact, the first time I even heard of Ham was sitting in a classroom where there was this Jewish rabbi teacher saying that, and I was the only black girl in the classroom and listening to Paradise Lost, and every student looked at me when the curse of Ham was read, and I just brushed it off like it was just a situation of racism because I was so lost, but they looked at me as if they knew me, though I didn't know myself. So the entire construct that I have come to find out is the religion to deceive the masses and keep us in bonds, to keep the whole social construct in balance with all the poor at the very bottom undisturbed. But in this truth, I have been set free, as the scripture says. I can now understand my position as a woman compared to my confused position in the Christian churches and in the world where I believe in the independent feminist woman disaster view, and now understand how important it is to support my husband, know my place, and preserve and restore legacy by raising my children in the living word and the love for Ahiah. And I now know the importance of following the holy days and towards the judgment, the time. And I truly am understanding the mercy and severity of our power and the wonderful grace of Christ's sacrifice. And none of these things I knew in the churches that I now know as a Hebrew. And I pray the Most High for this. And I pray that I never, ever let it go and endure. All praise be to the Most High. Praise the
go.
Most High. All praise
bless
the Most
you,
High. Bless you, Elder.
Bless you. Bless you. Someone say, who's tickling that girl? Hey, y'all be cracking me up sometimes. Sunshine always bring, she always bring the sun, right? Chastity is up next. What they didn't tell me in the church, what they didn't tell us in the church. And guess what? So soon as we find out that Christ is a black man, everyone become Buddhist. You notice that? I mean, boy, I remember TBN, Jimmy Swaggart on TV, the white Jesus, and the Shroud of Turin, and the tree crying, a cookie with the shape of Christ, with Cesar Bogier. Man, when we thought that they were the people, No one could oppose the Bible. But no soon as we found out, hold up, as soon as the Most High woke up and said, that's not them. They're mimicking you. You're the people. No soon as we find out being late to the party, as always, we find out that the book is ours, and they say, okay, there's no need for it now. We got Palestine. Okay? And matter of fact, we're going to question whether or not Christ was real, whether or not the Bible is true. Who cares about the book anymore? We used it to get the land, so mazel tov. Okay? Don't worry about it. We late to the party. As soon as we find out, the whole world become atheists. Who would have known? But guess what? As long as we were in the dark and supported them and looked at them as the chosen people, guess what? No one could rival or... They had arguments concerning its validity that no one could oppose it because why? It benefited them, okay? To let you know, they only utilized it to do what? For power. It was only about power for them. It wasn't about belief. It was about power, okay? But, hey, the Most High done pulled the rug right from under them, though. The children of Israel has risen from the ashes, and guess what? The Bible says if we sought... If we knew we had a place, that we had a place, that we lost a place, we would seek to return there. Elder Lawyer, I need you to grab me that too. No sooner as we find out that Christ is a black man, everyone become Buddhist. Ain't that so? They're like, listen, we ain't giving nothing to no black people, okay? I'll give you an overweight Asian man before we uphold a black man as Christ. All right. Chastity, your lies. Elder Lawyer, give me that. If we knew that we lost a place, we would have sought to go back, all right, to return that.
Yes, sir.
Let me know when you got that. All right, Chastity is on the line.
Shalom, elders. My name is Chastity from the Dallas Body.
Hey.
I have so many stories to share, but I'm going to keep it short. So by the age of seven, I was reading the word.
Take your time. Go ahead.
So by the age of seven, I was reading the word. I was baptized at seven. I was evangelizing in the Christian church by the time I was 12. So quite naturally, by the time I was in high school, I thought the sermons was getting repetitive and things of that nature, and I was seeking more. I was seeking more. I wanted to go into Revelations. I wanted to go into Daniel. And the preachers, the pastors, they never wanted to go into those words, into those books because, I mean, they were basically unlearned. But shortly after, I read the temptation story of Christ being tempted by Satan. So I asked my pastor, why does Satan have that much power that he can offer kingdoms to Christ? And they would just tell me, you know, you got to focus on Christ. We don't want to focus on the devil. And so I argued, why not, when Ephesians 6:11-12 says that we need to put on the whole armor of the Most High so that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So why wouldn't we, who the enemy is? And I was always taught that, you know, you're supposed to keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. So
okay. If
Satan has that much power and authority while Christ was here, just imagine how much power and authority he has now. Imagine Satan in our cities and in our neighborhoods and our communities, but also imagine Christ in order and law in our communities. I mean, to know that our involuntary worship of Satan or the enemy, that was what was keeping us in bondage, not the law was done away with. The law wasn't keeping us in bondage. It was the involuntary worship of Satan that was keeping us in bondage. So I just feel like if the Christian church would have taught that, our people and our communities wouldn't be so bad, that we would want to be structured. We would want to have order. And it's just a lot that could be said with just knowing that Satan has that much power over our government right now. Long story short, I never got the answers that I had thought. I was actually going into other records for about a year that I wasn't supposed to go into, just trying to see what the mysteries of the Most High was. In 2012, a brother, Jerry Miles, he introduced me to the truth. I accepted him maybe a few months later, but your video from Babylon to Rome to America, it answered all of my questions. And I still watch that video. I show that to everyone. My boys watch it. It took me to 2020 to join the church, but I wanted to say in contrast to the Christian church, it is amazing to see men working in the church, to see men working fervently and faithfully and willingly. It's just amazing. And if I might add that what our church is doing, what raising money to go across the world to baptize, I have never seen a church do such a selfless act as that. And I guess finally I just want to say that, you know, I'm thankful for the leadership and the teaching. It took me 8 years, but I'm glad to be here and to be a part of the body. It's wonderful people in the Dallas body, and they have embraced me within this short period of time. I'm overjoyed, and I'm grateful. And with that, I yield. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, that's good. All praise be to the Most High. Let me ask you this, sis. Do you see for any reason yourself going back into pagan Christianity?
No, sir. As I said, I found the truth in 2012, and I was a teacher in the Christian church, and I kind of used that as an excuse not to join the body. I was thinking, you know, maybe if I use elders teaching, I could wake some people up in the Christian church. That never happened, and I want to say that I'm just overjoyed where I'm at. The people, it's just a different experience. The people, it's just a different experience, and I'm just glad to be here.
Well, welcome to the body, sister. Bless you. Ah, there you go, Chastity. Bless you.
Wada, thank you.
Elder Lawyer, you got it?
Got yes, it, sir.
Let's read it.
All right. This is Hebrews 11, verse number 13.
Go on.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
That they what?
That they seek a country.
See, they had us seeking civil rights, folks. And wrong answer. While we were looking one way, they had their sight on what? On Jerusalem, on Palestine. Civil rights, they'll give you all the rights you want as long as they're at the helm to control your rights. Okay? They'll give you all the civil rights you want as long as you'll exchange what? Virtue and righteousness and honor for freedom. Okay? As long as you'll take liberty to destroy yourself, they'll give you all the freedom you want, all the rights you want. And while they're giving you freedom to destroy yourself, they're seeking a land prophetically belongs to you. Read on.
Verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country
if we were mindful of the country we came out of, this is the New Testament, folks. If we were taught in the church that we are the children of Israel in exile, read.
They might have had opportunity to have returned.
We might have had opportunity to return. So it's the people who don't believe in Christ who took our prophecies to go back. And in the New Testament said, if we, the believers, if we had a mind of the country that our forefathers were exiled from, we would have a mind and desire to go back. And not to physically go back, what to do what? To begin to follow the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High and receive Christ so that he could receive us back while taking the land upon his return. What we're teaching here is the real gospel. Thank you, Other Lawyer.
Yes, sir.
It's the real gospel, all right? They're telling us to march and civil rights, oh, move over because I want to sit on a white toilet. And you believe that's progress. I want to vote. And your foreparents died to vote. We are extolling too much energy in the wrong directions. Who controlled the polls? No sooner as we started voting, they came up with a new thing, the Electoral College, so that our vote is now what? Filibustered. It's like they stunted us by saying, well, if the black people voted with all the children they're having, the popular vote, they would influence influence the presidents and the politicians forever. So we had to put in what? A fail-safe. So even when they gave us the right to vote, they put in the Electoral College to make sure that our vote didn't do what? Didn't have a mainstream or the majority influence over the country. So we were looking in the wrong place, brothers and sisters. We were supposed to come back on code as Israelites. I don't care. Let me tell you. I don't care what you can say about, and this is them, and I'm going to give them credit for this. Whether or not they're atheist Jews, whether or not they're whether or not they're unbelieving Jews, whether or not they're Orthodox, whether or not they go to the synagogue or not, whether or not, it doesn't matter. What they all have in common is they will all agree to be Jews. They'll all agree to be Jews, whether they believe in the Torah, the New Testament. They can be Messianic Jews. They can be Orthodox Jews, Old Testament Jews. They can be atheist Jews, but they all agree to be Jews because they know what comes with that. Status and a land. And with that land, they're unified. And guess what? That's not going to work with us saying we're black. There's no place anywhere that's written in the earth that black people get anything. Okay? You know what you get black? You say you're black, that you get exactly that. Look at your dictionary. Look at the definition of black, and that's exactly what we've received. Next call, Sierra.
Hello, Shalom, Elder.
Shalom. Shalom.
Yes, even though I didn't grow up in the church, I would like to say that one thing they didn't teach was how to be better children to our parents and how to be better parents to children. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a parent, but it's just like a lot of dysfunction in most families. And this, you know, this resentment that I think a lot of children kind of feel for their parents has made them turn their back on the Most High. Like they never got the love or the respect or something to that nature, to the point where they just done with religion or God, the Most High altogether. That's something I've seen a lot. And for myself, that kind of made me, I didn't go through anything severe or anything, but the question was still there because I've seen a lot of this dysfunction going around. And it just always made me, you know, wonder about what the Most High really believed about or like what was his stance on this. So it actually led me to search for him even more because I always felt his presence and I longed to want to be a better daughter or child to him, and not only that, to my parents as well. And it's just, you know, they just don't tell you how to really honor your parents and how parents shouldn't provoke their children to wrath. So that's just something that is kind of like taboo in our community and a lot of things. And the other thing is the angel of presence. They I didn't even know about that until the church. So that's
sister, all. You know what that comes down to, and I'm glad you mentioned that with the parents and all that. We as a people lost our moral compass.
Yeah.
Right? Because parents, since we're not on code and have no religious obedience to God, our children went haywire. And it's really doing what? Highlighting our disconnect from the Father. If we're not in order with Him, the Most High show us how out of order we are by our children. Right? So it's like we're out of order. So if the parents are out of order, then the Most High is going to say, you're not right with me. Check out your children. That's how I feel about how you have turned your backs on me. Now, it's about, we lost our, going back to that point, losing our moral compass, right? See, I don't know if I'm telling my age, but it's I'm going to tell you, it's as if right now I feel as if things are backwards, upside down from the time when I was growing up. It's like we've entered a paradigm. Like I woke up in the twilight zone. Like there's no moral compass. We say father and mother and disobedience. There used to be a fear of our parents growing up. And this is how you can tell there was a greater fear. And I'm going to use myself in contrast, right, growing up. Growing up, right?
Yes, sir.
A young man would have to sneak. Oh, they go Elder Gabar. Elder Gabar, I got you. I'll bring you in. I didn't see Elder Gabar. A young man had to sneak to get an earring in one of his ears. I want to show you how much it has changed when it comes to the fear of parents. We growing up, you had to sneak to get an earring in one ear. And then when your parents was around, you would take it out real quick and all that, because that was a sign that something is influencing you outside of your parents. Right? Yeah. Then I looked up, you had, in the 90s, 2000s, you'd have guys run around with two earrings. And when we were growing up, if you had one earring, we got to watch what you're doing. But two earrings was a clear sign that you were gay. Right? I'm talking about when we were growing up, how things have flipped around. When we were growing up, sister, there was no such thing as any people, male or females, in the community with tattoos. You know who had the tattoos? Bikers and the scum of other communities, of the lower rungs of other communities that was on drugs, that was selling drugs to people, that were out there on heroin. It was these types of these drug-crazed people on mushrooms and acid, and it was more so hippies. Yeah. Like you would find one tattoo parlor next to an occult place where witchcraft was on South Street. And that's where the tattoo was, where the freaks and the weirdos lived. You didn't see brothers and sisters with just tattoos. No, it wasn't like the only time we seen tattoos really, and it was before our community, it was the Spanish community or the Latino community in our community where the gangs started coming from the West and onto the East Coast. That's the first time we saw in the poor communities tattoos, and these were gang people. I'm talking about a whole community with no tattoos at all. It was the freaks, and I'm talking about it's like they turned everything upside down and took all of the bottom feeding activity and placed it on our people. We weren't like this before. We were looking at like how. Sisters would look at people like that, and other people, white girls are look tat. Okay, she just came off a pole, because that's what the girls, they had tats on, snakes on them, and all that. And girls that are like, no, that's dirty, that's not clean. So we talking about, I'm talking about the moral compass being totally destroyed in our community to the point where the things we look down upon became the norm, and I don't know where it entered. Somewhere it entered, and it destroyed us. Mm-hmm. It destroyed us, man. Go ahead.
I was raised old school by my parents, and so in my generation, like, I'm seen as, like, you know, not cool or whatever, and it's always been fine by me because, you know, I've always been considered a old soul by my parents and stuff like that, and I know I'm blessed that my parents were there and gave me the wisdom. And I was able to, like, see past any of, you know, anything that I didn't necessarily agree with them and everything. But I know it's a lot of kids out there or adult children of parents that just have a real resentment towards their parents because, you know, some of them, they were cursed out by their parents. Like, they're, you know, like, just all these things. And that's just really created a resentment towards not only their parents but to the Most High, and it's just unfortunate to see a lot of people go down that road and not get to know the Most High because of that.
Yeah. Well, sister, I'm glad you brought that out because it took me back. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how – I'm going to place you on hold. I'm about to bring Elder Gabar in. Great call, sister, great call about the disobedience and the moral compass. I really appreciate that. Let me tell you, when it came to music, Rick James brought the funk, okay? But, you know, But there was nobody where I lived at thought about putting on a wig and putting glitters on their face and wearing some tight pants with platforms about 6 feet off the ground. No, he brought the funk in the music, but we knew, listen, that's a weirdo there. Okay? Because why? We had a spiritual, we had a biblical foundation here. We realized somebody got to that boy. It was a different time back then, folks. Like Rick, we were looking at Rick James, we're like, yo, the boy brought, he could do some music. But how do you be a grown man, almost 6 feet one, go into a wig shop and put glitter on your hair and put some tight pants on? That was unheard of when we was growing up. We was like, yo, the devil got that boy. Let's bring in and I don't even want to bring Prince into this conversation. Let's go. They didn't tell me this in church. Let me tell you, church set a moral standard, getting back on code to where we are, where at least by growing up in church, we understood what was weird, what was wrong to some degree. But what they didn't tell us in church, they didn't tell us that the things that we were recognizing is because we were the people of God. That we had a different standard as a people, even in darkness, because what? We were inherently the children of the Most High. And it seemed like we lost all of that altogether in this society today. Elder Gabar is in the house. I can't hear you, Elder Gabar. I can't hear you, sir. No, I can't hear you. Your mic isn't working. Nope, I can see you, but I can't hear you. Elder Lawyer, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Elder Lawyer is working, so your mic has to work, Elder Gabar. I don't know what's going on there. Okay, just I'm gonna take you off. Just text me when you're ready, okay? Your mic isn't working. All right. Okay. All right. Next call at Elder Gabar and Mike. Oh yeah. This weekend we're going over to our Feast of Tabernacles here on the East Coast. So we're gonna be out there amongst the congregation for a week. Under the stars this weekend, so it's going to be great. For those who are in the academy, we're going to give you we're going to send you a lesson to have this week until we pick up week 9 the following Sunday, because the whole week we're dealing with the Feast of Tabernacles, which starts this weekend. Okay, so yeah, we're going to be going live from the Feast of Tabernacles. Out there, men, women, and children, we're going to be cooking everything, a whole week of camping, out there dwelling in booths like the scriptures say. It's going to be a great time. So we're going to record a lot of that will be recorded, and we're going to upload that. And I'm going to ask again why we have so many people on to go to A-Gathering 144, go to A-Gathering 144 and subscribe. They're unsubscribing people from our A-Gathering 144 page. So I would appreciate it if y'all go to A-Gathering 144, the main page, and make sure they didn't unsubscribe you from the main page. A-Gathering 144 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button. Make sure it's not red. Hit the subscribe and say you would like to receive all notifications. All right. Let me know when you're ready, Elder Gabar, okay? 202 area code, 202 area code. They didn't tell me this in church. Talk to me.
Hello.
How are you doing? Your name?
Oh, hi. My name is Christina.
How you doing, Christina? Where you from?
I'm from Washington, D.C., but I'm in Maryland.
In Maryland. All right. Talk to us. What they didn't tell you in church that you know now?
it was a lot they did not tell me. It's two things. I'm not going to hold you up, but it's two things I want to talk to you about real quick.
Okay.
The first thing is a lot they did not tell me. I actually myself had, when I spiritually awakened, went to a church that was supposed to be called a Black Power Church, I guess. I did not know that. And they had a graven image of the Most High. I did not know. I was learning as I go, and I wanted to do music and stuff. And I went through something that I don't want to say what it is right now on the phone, but I went through something that caused me mental disturbance because I was threatened and everything. It was tough. It's still tough for me because I'm still battling.
You can't touch on that and think that we're gonna just slide to the next topic here. So
I know you're gonna talk.
Just relax. Bear with me. You said that you were threatened by someone in the church.
Yes. When I went to go after my dreams, basically, I thought that was where I could do it and where I could accomplish my dream. And the Most High showed me really that these churches, I have really experienced, that's what I'm trying to say, that I have really experienced that these churches are.
Who threatened you and why did they threaten you? Let's keep it within those parameters.
When I tell you this, you won't believe. I could have sued them. It was the wife of the pastor that did this to me and caused me mental pain.
Sister, let's not talk about the mental pain. You're safe now. She threatened you. What did she say, and why did she threaten you?
I don't know why. But the way that it happened, I knew it was to me because I had went, like I said, I went to accomplish my dreams. And back in the day, it was because of my mother had taught me to go and ask for help. I was accomplishing something big, okay? That's all I'm going to say. And I went for help from the church because my mother is old school and she was serving and she believed that, like, when you do a business or something like that, the church would finance you and, you know, stuff like that. So that's why that happened to me.
I'm trying to work with you here. Well, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, I'm sorry. What I'm saying is, well, the second thing, can I talk about the second thing I wanted to talk about, or do we want to finish this?
I don't think we're going to finish the first thing. Let's go to the second thing.
Well, the second thing, after I told you what has happened to me, the second thing is I have been having some dreams involving you, and I know that you know what dreams really mean. I don't want to discuss them on this line.
So,
I want to know
you don't
want to
talk about anything. Hold on.
I want you to.
Just calm. You're putting stuff out there, and you're not. You're taking up space without
because
saying anything.
Because I want to be contacted. I want to be contacted personally.
Okay, so you're calling to say you need a call from me, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
A serious call.
All right. Okay, we'll do this. Elder Amar, take down our number and your name again.
Christina.
Take down Christina's number, and we'll, sister, I'll call you while I'm at the Tabernacles, okay?
Okay. Please don't forget, I had four dreams involving you.
Four dreams involving you. All right. We're going to call next week on that, all right?
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay, I don't think I'm still on here. Let me see. All right. No, you're still not coming in, Elder Gabbar. You're not coming in. Let me call you back. Okay, I'm unmuted now. Let me go back. Boy, I was threatened, and she was threatened by the pastor's wife, and Lord have mercy. I'm telling you what's going up in those places. 816 area code. Let's go. 816 area code. Shalom.
Shalom, Elder. How you doing? This is Akbar Azal here out of KC. How's it going?
I'm doing well. You're live.
Hey, I had a question. I guess it's pertaining to I guess I can say as far as my testimony. First things first is they never did really let us know or let me know that I wasn't a Gentile. And that was kind of the overall view of it. Never really understood what Israelite was. And so that was a big deal there.
Okay, so what you're saying, in the church, they told you, they were teaching you that you were Gentile.
Correct.
Okay, all right. And,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and that was pretty much that. It covered everything as far as the doctrine. Every piece of doctrine that you teach, that we study with you, was never taught there. And I used to go to church many times, and I had a pastor that went into the Bible, and he would, we would have about 30 quote unquote precepts, but it just probably wasn't to any avail. So I wasn't real sure about that and wasn't getting too many answers. So I went on and left.
When did you find the truth concerning our people and the Bible being the children of Israel? Hold on, Gabar, is your mic working now? Hold on. Gabar, your mic isn't working. Gabar, hold on. Gabar, your mic isn't working at all. Lawyers is working, but yours not working. All right, okay. I'm sorry about that. So fix that. You can come back. All right. All right. All right, brother. You're live. Talk to us.
Yes, sir. My question was, I just want to preface it a little bit just to, you know, kind of give it some context. The scriptures, I believe it's in Romans, where it states that those who didn't have the law, they are law unto themselves. Reading that at that context, that it was back then where the gospel was just gaining traction and moving forward like that, with it being now, the scriptures also said that the gospel would be preached to the four corners of the world. And now we're here today
with the
age of information.
Okay, when you say back then, the scriptures never pertain to just back then.
Or
it's one way because it's gaining traction. The Most High is outside of time. He doesn't deal with time like us. So those scriptures apply today like it did the day Paul was inspired to write it.
Understood.
There's nothing different.
Okay, so my question is, would anyone be able to be exempt from hearing this word in these days with
There is no exempt. The Bible tells us time and chance happen to all men. How many people have you talked to outright rejected it? And that's just you personally. That same person have ran into this truth many days and rejected it. Not just with you.
Not the rejection part. I was speaking of the hearing of it part, but yet still operating.
Well, yeah. Hearing and being, it's still the same. Having the opportunity to come to this truth. Every person will have that opportunity.
Correct.
Every person.
Okay. That's what I was getting at. So there's no excuse.
There is no excuse.
My man. All right. Thank you, Elder. That's what I was calling about.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Shalom.
No problem. Shalom. All right. Next call. 352 area code.
Shalom, Elder. How are you?
Shalom. They didn't tell me this in church.
They did not tell me. I wish they had told me what happens after death, because I think that being in the academy, amazing academy, for 7 years straight, I've learned so much, and I wish they had told me what happens after death, because I think that coming from the church, most people in the church fear death because they just don't know what's going to happen or what happens. So I wish they had told me what I knew now, because I grew up in fear of death. And I had to learn through the academy and, you know, and strengthen my faith and learn what I know now. You know, I wouldn't want to leave my family. I pray the Most High have mercy on me to see his return and I can walk into the kingdom. But I don't fear it as much as I did when I was in the church. And then I also wish they didn't tell me that once saved is always saved, because that's what they did tell me, that once saved is always saved. No matter what you do, you're saved. And, you know, commit murder, commit adultery, no problem. You're going to go straight to heaven. I remember the pastor preaching that in the sermon, and that's when I said to my husband, that's when I knew he messed up. And I said to my husband, it's time to go. And we left the church that day when he said, it doesn't matter what you've done, once saved is always saved. We left the church that day and then ended up in GOCC, which I am so grateful the Most High chose me and my husband, woke us up, and we are here today, sir.
Once saved, what type of hot mess is that?
Yes, sir. Once saved is always saved. There's no need for repentance.
Yeah, when Christ even talks and speaks of a dog going to his vomit, going back to his vomit, when one hears the truth and go back into the world and do things, it's like a dog returning to his own vomit. That's Christ. But I digress. I don't know what these pastors are talking about. It's just but you know, I'm glad you're with the church. I'm glad you and your husband is with the body. Welcome.
Yes, sir.
Do you ever see yourself for any reason going back into pagan Christianity?
Oh, we say hell in the Caribbean. I'm sorry, Elder. No disrespect. Hades, no.
All right. And see, I didn't even touch on the fact that It's Raining Men used to be sung on the outside of the church, right? I'm not even touching that. So, that's all I'm going to say on that. Well, thank you, sister.
Never going back, not looking back, never turning back, trying to stay focused. The path is already narrow. I'm staying focused and looking straight ahead, sir. And all to you, I thank the Most High for you, sir, because it was you that helped me to wake up, and I got my husband up, and we're up. We're awake. We're ready. We're ready to work.
Hey, and y'all doing it. Y'all doing it. Praise the Most High. All right. I'm going to bring Elder Gabar in. You welcome anytime. I'm going to place you on hold. I'm going to bring Elder Gabar in through his telephone since we're having issues on the line.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Can't do that either.
6-4-6-2-8-1-4-4-4-3 is not available. At the tone, please record your message.
Can't bring him in that way either. Hey, Gabar, I'm trying to bring you in because I'm sure you have something important to talk about. Just text me, let me know when you're ready. Because, I do have a few other people. 786 area code. Thank you all. We've kept it steady up 2,300, which is pretty good. Be sure to help out with the Cash App if you can. $GOCC144 donate for the online classes. And if you wish to support the church further, go to gatheredofchrist.org. And right there under donate, there's other options outside of the Cash App. But if you like the broadcast, support the broadcast. $GOCC144 donate. All right, 786 area code. They didn't tell me this in church. Did you go to church?
Shalom, shalom, Elder, shalom, this Hebrew Harris. Yes, sir, I went to church. And they didn't tell me that I was in a full-fledged war. They didn't tell me that Amalek was out to get me, to set me up. They didn't tell me that it was an all-out war on Israelites. They didn't tell us anything. All it did was tell you what you wanted to hear and pass a collection plate around. But they did not let me know that it was a war out for my life, for my freedom, they didn't let me know that the Most High was my God and that he set laws for us to follow so we can be saved through the blood of Yeshua Christ. It was all a setup from Amalek, the churches, the school systems. Everything was a setup, and they didn't tell us nothing.
Yeah.
They didn't tell us not a thing. And all praises to this GOCC ministry, you, Elder Lawyer, Elder Gabar, Bishop Amoth, all y'all are my mentor, my brother.
Mm.
And without this ministry, sir, I really believe I would be dead. I would be actually in torment right now if it wasn't for this ministry. You have taught me who to pray to. All praise the higher by Shimmy Shire will walk. You have taught me how to live. In the academy about maybe, I guess maybe four academies ago, four lectures ago, Elder Chapat said, if you do not have your passport right now, please have mercy, go and get it. And that Monday, I went and filed for I went to get my passport. All praise. It just came in about a week ago, so I'm ready for the Babylon bounce. But when I went in there, I must have been in this lady's office for about 2 minutes, and she's at the copy machine, and she looks and says, "Were you in the military?" And I thought, and I'm like, "Oh, it's because I'm yes, ma'am, no, ma'am." I said, "No, ma'am, I know." She said, "Oh, your mom raised you right, huh?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." So she sits down, and Elder, another 2 minutes later, she looks and says, "What religion are you?" And I thought to myself, I said, "Wow, all praise to this GOCC ministry. Christ is radiating. It's like they see it, and they know. They know, okay, when you're in this truth, they see it in the young black man. They know.
Yes,
everyone knows.
Yeah.
It shows. And I felt so good for her to ask me that. And I let her know, ma'am, I'm Israelite. This isn't a religion. This is a bloodline. And I explained to her. She's also, because she was Cuban. I let her know, you're Israelite. You're from a tribe. I had her subscribe. She followed. I hope she still follows you. But it was all a setup. Everything was a setup. Once I came into this truth and watched your lessons, you have taught me this whole entire life is a facade. It is a lie. It is a setup. Even our own people that you trust in the churches are setting us up for failure. And it's sad. It's sad.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get off the line. But I need you to know, sir, I look up to you. I have always prayed. I have a great father. But unfortunately, you never want to be the smartest man in the room. And all my life, all I've had to look up to for inspiration and for advice was my father. All my friends would come to me for advice, and I had no one. And I always said, I wish I had somebody that can teach me, that I can listen to. And all praises, you and Elder Lawyer are my mentors, man. And what y'all are doing for the Most High sheep is amazing. And sir, when I make it to the kingdom, you, Elder Lawyer, Elder Gabar, y'all come to my place anytime. Snatch the door wide open and walk right in. Because of y'all, I made it. And I thank you, man. And I love y'all. I truly love y'all. And I thank you, sir. And I'm going to continue to support this ministry. I'm going to continue to be here, and I'm going to ride it all the way out. And I thank you, sir.
Man, praise the Most High. What power. Bless you, my brother.
Yes, sir. Bless you. Shalom.
Shalom. Y'all hear that? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I know the devil's mad. I know people out there are totally mad, and then they would rather him be in the world, destitute, destroyed, no understanding to what's going on, what has happened in his life, and why our people have always been on the bottom and attacked. I'm sure y'all felt better when he – a lot of people felt better about him like that. There's a lot of people out there who would rather have our people out there destitute with no direction than to be under some type of what? Honor and respect code with teachers, with those who have paved the way. I wanted to put that out there. Great, great call, brother. Great call. They didn't tell me this in the truth, right? What they didn't tell us in the church, is this. Okay, I'm going to bring you in, Jackie. I see you there. I'm going to bring you in 1 second. Jackie, you up next. What they didn't tell us is that the church is supposed to become the vanguard. You're supposed to be in front of things. Okay, you're not supposed to be reactionary. You're supposed to be Christ told Peter, you love me, you feed my sheep. You feed my sheep. It's like, no, the shepherd goes before the sheep. See? And for years, the Christian church has been on their heels, especially in our communities, where they've been reactionary instead of proactive protecting the sheep. I mean, we went through a whole era almost, a span of 10, 15 years between 95 and 2010, where they were diagnosing our children in the inner cities with all these psychological diagnoses, putting our children on all types of drugs and all that. And where were the pastors? Where were the pastors? We went through a whole, and folks, this was only happening predominantly in our community, our children being put on drugs. On drugs. Our young men, minds are being scrambled on Ritalin, can't even think because they're claiming you got ADHD or you're moving too fast or you're too vibrant. Boys being boys became an illness, and the church has said nothing. And you know they couldn't do that when I was growing up. I wish somebody would have came to the school and try to tell my father that I needed to get on Ritalin or something. My father was like, listen, that's a regular boy. He's climbing trees just like I climb trees. Ain't nothing wrong with that boy. And we went through 10 many years of our children being diagnosed with having the system put demons on our families, with no pastor anywhere standing guard saying, well, hold up, before we do this, let's check with the pastor and see what's going on. And we took the psychologist's words over the pastors, because the pastor wasn't in front of anything, not realizing that they were destroying his congregation, his community. Man, what was church for? If not a protector for the community. I only have a few more calls. I'm sorry to go so late. I'm sorry. I'm almost done. Let's see. We had someone there, Jackie. Jackie, did you fall? Oh, there she is. 313. Shalom. And after that, we go to 571 area code.
Shalom. Yes.
Hey, Shalom, Jackie. Where are you from, Jackie?
Detroit.
Okay. Well, Detroit in the house. All right. They didn't tell me this in the church. Talk to us.
Well, they didn't tell me that honor the Sabbath days and keep the feast days as opposed to the holidays. They didn't tell me how to do different precepts and how important it was. I heard the scripture line up on line, precept on precept, but how to use it was totally different. I also memorized the scripture, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. What is that scripture? Royal priesthood, a chosen generation, and a holy nation. But to really identify myself, they didn't tell me that I was Israel. So now that I'm into the truth, I can understand better who I am as it relates to the scriptures. And what was interesting about everyone else that called in, everybody have their own experience. I feel like I've come this far by faith in the truth. So when I was in the Christian church, there were things that I did learn. Like I heard somebody said they didn't teach them how to pray. I learned how to pray in the Christian church. There's some things I learned. I learned how to build godly character based on Galatians 5 and 22. I learned that. But I think the importance, even in whether coming out of Christianity and then coming into the truth and learning who you are in Christ, I think we have to take responsibility and we have to just keep our eyes on Christ. And I believe that was what got me through, is that I was always wanting more. And at some point, Elder, I just got churched out. I couldn't do church anymore. Like, I can't do church on any level. I mean, on Sunday worship.
When you say you got churched out, what do you mean by that?
There's a song that says, "Take me to the King, I'm all churched out." That was real in my life. When I say churched out, I wasn't growing at some point. It wasn't okay. life to me anymore. It yeah. didn't feed my spirit. And so I've okay. always, and I'm still like that today, I keep my focus on Christ. And that's really what keeps me going. And just being in the truth, I'm really appreciative that the Most High has sent me to a place where I can continue to grow in Christ. But I think as people of the truth, we have to take responsibility. We can't put it all on the man of God. We have to take responsibility when we're told to do things, or take it for what it's worth and grow where you are.
Yeah.
So I think that's so key.
It seems like you've been in church for a while. Have you ever experienced that thing they called speaking in tongues? Did you ever experience that?
I've experienced everything in church, like everything you talked about.
Okay, let's stay there for a second. Speaking in tongues, okay. what was going on with you in that moment? What was happening with you?
Well, I grew up in the Baptist church, and then from there I went to a non-denominational church.
I'm talking about the experience of the so-called Holy Ghost. Just give me that.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm going to tell you. So this particular church, they were saying that they would teach you that, you know, just the Holy Spirit is just going to come upon you, and you're going to speak in a different tongue. And I was like, I didn't really trust them. So I was like, no, So they took you in this room and they prayed with you. And I was like, no, if this is so, then I'll go home and I'll have my own personal experience. I just didn't trust that. So,
no, I'm asking, did it ever fall on you is my question.
It did. Actually, I did have that experience. That's where I was at that time.
Okay,
I don't know
if you hear me. What I'm asking you, what was that experience? That's what I'm asking you.
Oh, what was that experience? Looking back now, I can't really say what that experience was. It felt good, but in terms of... It's nothing in comparison to going in the water and knowing that that's when the Holy Spirit comes up on you. It's not like that. When I went into the water and I got baptized.
I take it there's nothing you can describe is what you're saying.
Looking back, I just take it as that was part of the process that I went through, and I'm so glad that I didn't give up at that point, that I continued to grow and persevere and continue to just want more of Christ. And that's how I got to where I'm at today.
Okay.
So it's right. like, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, sister. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Yeah. And the reason why I asked her is because it seems like when they're going into that, it seems like it's an experience that they're really experiencing something, right? But the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 14 and 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you, have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying, which means if you're in the church, you're not there for your personal experience. The church, we come together to be edified by the teacher, right? Because one wants to experience what God is saying, not individual activities that are going on, right? And it says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, that's what they do in these churches, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Which means, if there's no, usually it's a language that can be understood on earth. And someone in the church must understand that language to interpret to others. Why? If God is speaking, why should you be the only one hearing it? Right? The church is to edify. So if you are speaking in an unknown tongue and God is saying, listen, y'all better get out of there. A tsunami is coming. I want the warning also. right? So here it is, a person with all this spirit. God is speaking directly to you. You're speaking in another tongue. And guess what? No one in the church is being edified. That's why Paul said, go home with that. Because why? There was a lot of channeling going on in the Bacchus temples during the time of Rome, where they were channeling, that's right, to Bacchus. The women would go in Sundays and catch a spirit and be speaking in tongues in the Roman temple. And Paul was like, y'all not going to be doing this up in here. Y'all not going to be taking your Roman practices and bringing it up in our churches. If you're going to speak in an unknown tongue, it has to be a language that's spoken on earth, and someone in the church must be able to understand what God is saying to you. If not, go home. Okay? I wanted to put that out there real quick. Okay? And this is why sometimes I ask brothers and sisters, what is that experience? Because in the church, I grew up in the Baptist church. I've seen it all the time. Never experienced anything like that because growing up, I believed that something was wrong with these people. Okay? You're doing all this and you're shaking and you're rolling, and then you go down and stop. You're sitting next to me at a table asking me to pass you the mashed potatoes at the dinner after service, as if I didn't just witness you just go off in convulsions. It was weird to me to see a person totally normal, and an hour ago, they was out of their mind shaking all over the place. So I always try to figure out, what is that? Now, I remember one time, because maybe some people thought something was wrong with me because I didn't catch the Holy Ghost or whatever that is, and they said that they want to try to help me out with it. And I'm like, I'm singing in the choir. I'm learning under the pastor. And they said they wanted to help me out. I'm like, okay. But then a guy came down, this burly dude. He had a lip gloss talking about he want to put – I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm dealing with the spirit I'm in. He had the lip gloss, lip shining, coming down. I'm good, dude. No Holy Ghost going to jump on me. I'm straight. So these are the things I experienced. Some weird stuff going on up in there. And I'm glad that we've been delivered. I'm glad I've been delivered from the Christian church. All right, what's next? I've been delivered. 404 area code.
Well, hi, Elder. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Elder. Can you hear me? Victoria.
Yes.
Okay.
How you doing, Victoria? We have a lot.
I'm doing really good.
This topic must really, it's a lot of sisters in this call. So I guess this is jive the responses from the majority of sisters. They didn't tell me this in church. Come on, talk to me.
They didn't talk much about health and dietary laws in church.
Okay.
I didn't hear many lessons on how to be a virtuous woman, how to submit to my husband, what was my purpose as a woman and as a wife to my husband. They didn't speak much on hell, Hades, I guess. They didn't talk much about that, and they didn't really go into Revelation, and they didn't teach me how to read the Bible.
Man, that's a lot.
I know.
I guess it's more so tradition. There's other parts of it. The social gathering component, right? Something to do with the children. So there's other things outside of because it wasn't all bad. I just wanted to know what they didn't tell us in the church, which is really more important, right? That's a lot.
Right.
You never learned to submit to a man in a church?
So they didn't talk. It wasn't very many, woman lessons, like the church I went. It was a mega church, and most of the lessons was surrounding around prosperity. So a lot of this stuff I didn't learn until I joined this church.
Okay, you was in a prosperity church.
It's a very popular church.
Okay, if you don't mind, no one is going to do anything to you. What church were you a part of? What prosperity church?
It was New Birth Baptist Church.
New Birth Baptist Church. Is that New Birth? Is that Eddie Long?
Yes.
Lord have mercy. Were you there when the scandal came down?
Yes. I actually went to school with some of those guys.
You went to school with some of those guys who were allegedly touched?
Yes.
And what is your take on it? What since you were eyewitness and went to school with them, they were apparently on the gay side of things, right?
That's interesting because Atlanta is an interesting place, but I guess you could say the one that I remember was really loud and obnoxious and flamboyant, and at the time I didn't recognize that as characteristics of that kind of person. I just recognized that as somebody who constantly needed attention, but if you put it that way, then yeah. But
okay.
I could definitely tell something was going on.
So of course, when the scandal broke, is that one of the reasons why you turned your, you say, I'm done with this, or what brought you to the truth of being Israel?
When the scandal broke, I was really heartbroken because I had been going to Newburgh since I was like a baby. Like my mom, we were raised in Newburgh, so I was really hurt. And I kind of turned away. I kind of turned away from the church for a little bit. But then I want to say in like 2012, but not because of that scandal. I had a lot of stuff going on in my life. A lot of people were losing their life at a very young age in my family and stuff. So it was that, and then that just added to it. So it was just kind of like. But then anyway, in 2012 is when I like kind of found this church, and I found it on YouTube, but I was going to another church, like a local church in the area, and I would go to the pastor and ask him questions like stuff about stuff that I learned from online, from watching you. He would just like dismiss it. So it was to me because he wouldn't answer me or he wouldn't address what I was going through, but when I came to him and talked to him about what was happening at Newburgh, he was so intrigued with it. It just kind of made me walk away from his church, and then I kind of went full throttle in your church. So
he was more intrigued with the scandal than he was with the information and truth that you learned concerning you being an Israelite and this being Babylon we're living in. So all the information So he was more interested in the juicy stories of the scandal than he was the word of the Most High.
Right, yeah. He would listen to me for an hour or so talk about Newburgh, but then when I started asking him questions about the name Ahia or, you know, just what color was Christ or are we the people of the Bible, you know, just different things, he'd be like, you know, don't worry about that. Color doesn't matter. You know, all this kind of crazy stuff. And I was like, yeah. And I just kind of left his church.
Man, it's a lot of people I'm hearing that came to the knowledge of the Most High, come to the knowledge of themselves and are part of this church. I mean, man, we got Newburgh, we got Kojic, we got a lot of people. We got people who said that they came from Geno Jennings. A lot of them have come through. And I'm gonna tell you what's going on right now in the earth right now. People don't know it. A lot of these churches out here, especially in America, they're being foreclosed on. The congregations are leaving it all together, and there haven't been a recovery in these churches in America since COVID. And believe it or not, a lot of real estate people are coming in and buying these churches right up from under these pastors. I mean, turning churches into apartment buildings, all types of stuff. So the question is, what's going on in the churches? Where are the people going?
I think they come into these truths.
A lot Israel. They come into the truth of being Israel. We're here.
Yeah.
We're here. I can see it. Yeah.
I'm so excited that I found it.
I'm so excited too, sis. So you know you're Israel. Do you find yourself at any time going back into pagan Christianity?
Oh God, heavens, no.
Okay. Welcome. Welcome to Kingdom Truth. And when did it hit you? It's like this. Something overcame me when I realized that, okay, this is confirmed. It wasn't like I was surprised. When I found out that I was an Israelite, it confirmed everything that I felt. It confirmed. When I found out I was an Israelite, and that's what I want to know, because sometimes people say, well, the Bible said, but sometimes it's a confirmation that's beyond the words. And let me tell you, when I found out I was an Israelite in the Bible, it confirmed something. And I was like, I knew something was special about our people. We're so different. Right. I never could put my finger on it. Listening to Whitney Houston sing, listening to, and everyone, there's great singers everywhere, but there's something different about our people. Looking at Michael Jackson and the Jacksons and how everything they do, the Jacksons come up and now you got the Osmonds. Jackie Wilson comes up and then you have Elvis. All right? And they couldn't duplicate James Brown. But on and on and on and on, I said, you know what, sister, when I found out I was Israel and all you brothers and sisters, it just confirmed everything for me. I'm like, you know what?
Right.
I knew we had to be the people. I knew.
It was kind of similar. Sorry.
Go ahead, I'm listening. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it was kind of similar for me, too, because even though I was going through, like, so much at the time when I found the church, it was, like, something in me that made me, like, still want to, like, honor and worship the Most High. I just knew I didn't have the right teachers. And so at one point, I was going to the small church that I told you about with the pastor, and I was still, like, listening to you online, and I would see you and Elder Lawyer go line upon line, precept upon precept. That's what I mean by teaching me how to read the Bible. And then I would go to his church, and he would do two scriptures, and then everything else would just be hooting and hollering and nonsense. And I was like, okay, I'm learning more about the Bible over here.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm learning more about the Bible over here, and I like the way they sound, but even this church online, they got music too, and it sounds better than this. And so everything was, you know, taking me in the direction. And the only thing that I was, like, hesitant about is that it was all online. And then when I heard that you guys had a church in Atlanta, and I went to that, and I got baptized September of 2012. And that's what solidified it for me after my baptism.
And was baptized into the body. All praises be to the Most High. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
I appreciate
the
session. In that land where it was said that ye are not my people, it shall be told to them that ye are the sons of the living God. I knew it. As soon as I read Deuteronomy 28, I'm sitting there looking at my Bible. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm sitting there. It's like I was frozen in time for at least a couple of minutes. I'm like, slavery and everything we've experienced is right here in Deuteronomy 28. And no pastor anywhere in our communities are telling us this. I'm like, are you kidding me? That was the magic. Let me tell you, that was the skeleton key. I read Deuteronomy 28, and I'm like, listen, you can't find a million white people have gone through this, Chinese, any other race of people who have gone through this. And then when Christ said that the Romans are going to come against us in the book of Luke, and you shall be led away captive into all nations. And then when you go back into the prophecies, it says, that it shall no longer be said that thus saith the Lord who delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, but the God who would deliver the children of Israel from the sides of the north, that it will be no longer said that he delivered us from there, that he would deliver us from the north country. I'm like, yo, captivity, Egypt is on the pyramid in America. We are slaves. I'm like, we're the Israelites, man. And guess what? From that point on, my life took a change. Because with taking ownership of an Israelite, being an Israelite, comes a responsibility to his law. What comes with being an Israelite? Well, he gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai, which puts our people above any other people on earth. Boom. I'm like, that's the key. We do this, we get on cold with the Most High, and we'll receive the promise. There is no other answer for this. We've tried everything. We've tried Islam, Christianity, Buddhist. We tried everything, but we never tried getting on cold with the God who put us in this condition. 404 area code. I only have a few more calls. Here we go. 404 area code.
Hello?
I can go on for hours, but I can't. I have to go. 414 area code. We're going to do a marathon one of these days, probably down the line before
Hello?
The year is out. Shalom, 414. You're live with the Gathering of
Can you hear me?
Church.
Can you hear me?
G-O-C-C.
Hello?
Get down with G-O-C-C. Yeah, you know me. Let's do it. Come on, let's talk.
Hello?
Oh, my goodness, brother. Talk to me.
Can you hear me, Elder Ricard?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think I can hear you now. It's just a delay here. First of all, this is Jonathan from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I want to tell you one of the things for me that wasn't told to me. I used to preach in the church. I was never told to accept the word as it is written. In all of our classes and everything, I was never told to accept the word as it was written. I never was told that we were Israel. And then once I stopped going to church, once I slowed down, I had been out of church for about maybe 2.5, 3 years. When me and my fiance got together, I was still preaching. I was still in the church. And that's one of the things that's hindering our relationship now is because of the fact I know that I'm Israel now. And now coming into the knowledge and listening to you teach, I got to tell you, it blows my mind. One thing that I was taught in the Christian church was how to study. Pastor Locke used to always tell us to study. Get in your Bible and study.
Okay.
But because of having that foundation of Christianity, that foundation of the norm of what we were always brought up, you know, learning in church,
yeah,
that clouded your understanding when you read the Bible. And that's what happened. So when I was in the minister's classes and everything, because of how I was taught, that understanding is what clouded my, you know, so it was hard to really understand. So when I started listening to GOCC, I literally had a hard time accepting certain things. So I had to literally write down all of those precepts, write down everything, and I had to go back over it.
Okay.
And that when that light bulb clicked on, it clicked on a whole nother level. It clicked on a whole nother level. And now it's like the Hebrew and Bible Academy, this is what, my fourth one now?
Praise the Most High.
It blows my mind. Like, I can't wait till we get a church here in Milwaukee because I really want one bad.
I called you once before,
and I said, man, because – when I'm talking to people, they ask me, well, what church do you go to? And what, who taught you this? You know, they want to know. They want to know, you know, how you learn it and everything. You know, and I hate not having nowhere to ask them to come to or whatever.
We're coming.
Because
we're coming, brother.
For me,
don't worry about it.
For me, it helps me a lot to be able to physically sit down and learn it. But that understanding blows my mind. And then when you ask, like, I have a lot of pastor friends that don't even talk to me now. Like, literally, when we have a conversation,
that ain't Christ-like.
That conversation is crazy. When I tell you the conversation is crazy, I don't know who bewitched you. I had one pastor tell me, a pretty well-known pastor here, told me that I was bewitched. And I said, well, okay, if I'm bewitched, I said, I asked him to explain to me how I'm bewitched. If I'm bewitched, show me how I'm bewitched. Because everything that I'm telling you, I'm showing you in the Word of God. You still haven't told me how I'm bewitched. And to this day, I'm still waiting for him to give me an answer.
Oh, man.
Still to this day. And it's sad because a lot of things, like even when it comes to all of this stuff that's going on out here, you know, the conversation is off the chain. It's just ridiculous. And it's just so many people are so lost because we're so caught up in the norm to where we can't break those we can't break those ties. It's really hard. And, you know, when you talk mm-hmm. like, you know, like my fiance, me and her, it's like a battle. I don't know if we're going to even, you know, last because of it. It's just
well,
tough.
I thank God for the church. Let's deal with this.
It's
because, you know, you got to be wise. You don't want to lose your home. You want to, you know, the whole deal is, to tell you the truth, especially when one get the truth, being a man, I'm going to mm-hmm. tell you, in this world, believe it or not, when a man get the truth of him being Israel, he began to, and we have to be careful because there's a certain level of power that comes with this truth already. And then we start to examine the power that was relinquished through sin. So there's a lot we put on women, but once we get the truth, we realize, well, no. I'm the man. It's time for you to follow me. And that's mm-hmm. hard for this world, people that are raised in this world, particularly women, to accept to some degree. Because what they start thinking is, okay, how is this outside influence is going to affect my house? And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that because a woman, you know, she's security driven, but you have to realize, okay, all of this power I'm bringing forth, how is this affecting my home? So what you got to do is you got to assure her that this doesn't change how you feel about her. You have to let her know that this is a journey that the Most High have you on, and you just want to follow the Bible. You want to follow the holy days of the Bible and see how that works. Opposed to following slave paganism, and tell her no. I know you used to me giving you things on Christmas. I'll tell you what. There's a Purim holy day. I'll give it to you on Purim. It's still, you know, it's the 10th month, the 25th day, according to Purim. I'll do that, and whatever I give you on Christmas, I will give it to you on a holy day that has some traditional value to us. This is the history when the Most High saved our people during the time of the Persian Empire. So, and this is when we began to give gifts. So I know you miss Christmas. You can cook on this day. Hey, just do it on that day. So I'm still going to give you the gifts, but it's not going to be on Christmas. It's going to be on Purim. It's the holy day. So when she realizes she can do some of the things that she's used to doing, but on a different day, you understand? Then she's not feeling like she's losing everything, you know? So find out what the compromise is and don't be too heady because, you know, you want her on the journey too. But sometimes we can be too headstrong to a degree we're not realizing we're leaving the people, you know, the Most High moving us in the spirit. We don't realize to the world that's crazy.
Yeah, because I was more angry. I was very angry. I was angry. When I first started hearing the truth, I had literally got angry. Like, I got to the point to where when I would talk to the pastor, me and the pastor, I had questions that needed to be answered, period.
But I'm about to go to the next call. But I'm gonna stay on your house real quick, right? Because the pastors, they're going to be what they are, right?
Yeah.
Just imagine this. After Christ came out of the water and was baptized, immediately, the Most High moved them away from the general population into the wilderness. Why? I need you to think about that. You have to realize he was going through a transformation. Just imagine him amongst the general population, and he's seeing Satan there, and no one else can see him, and he's talking to Satan and all that, and he's on this spiritual growth before that's going to move him towards his ministry in the wilderness. But imagine that interaction at the market, and he's sitting there amongst everyone else, and his family seeing him go through that. Now, and the reason why I'm putting that comparison out there, brother, when the Most High begin to change you and start to move you, you're dealing with a metamorphosis with a person who used to know you. And to them, it's like you went into the wilderness, but they're beholding your change and cannot relate to it. Because you're changing inside the house with your family. See, sometimes I can understand how how one can get so captured into this truth that it makes you a recluse and it changes who you are with everyone around you. It does.
It really does.
And the so you have to realize that piece isn't her fault. You're changing in the midst of her, and she don't know you. You're changing into a different person. So it's about becoming considerate, knowing that she's not on this high like you are. Right? So that's why Christ was taken into a wilderness, because that was something the Most High was moving him on, but he didn't have the responsibility of laying next to someone, seeing this change with him dealing with all these different spirits, battling in the spirit and doing all these things real time. He didn't have to worry about this person looking at him like, hold up, you're not who I married. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying,
right.
Sometimes you can be on this race and not realize how you're affecting other people is what I'm saying in a nutshell. Okay?
Right. No, I understand. Yes, sir.
All right, so I got to go real quick. I have one other call, brother. And I have your number. I'm going to tell Remar to write your number down, and I'm going to give you a call, okay?
Please do. I appreciate that.
No problem. I'll give you a call. All right?
All right. Take care.
Well, all right. I got 604. I didn't forget you, 604, but there's some people who've been waiting longer. All right. I got Sharonda here. 604, I'm going to let you go real quick, and then I'm going to bring in Sharonda, and that will end our night. Sharonda and 502, there's two calls. So, okay, 604, talk to us.
Hello, brother. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I wish the church, they didn't tell me this in the church. What's that?
Well, as far as going back to the pagan Christian church, you know, that's never going to happen. Not with everything that we have learned with GOC.
Praise the Most High.
I wanted to thank you for everything that you do, you and the whole body. I appreciate everything that y'all have done, everything that I learned from you guys. It's been amazing. I just have one particular question, if you don't mind, concerning the book of Daniel, please.
Yeah, go on.
In the book of Daniel, with the desolation of chapter 12, I'm just wondering if that desolation has already happened, or are we waiting for that to happen? That would be my only question, sir. Thank you.
Well, the desolation began in 70 A.D., to tell you the truth. But the end time prophecy of the last 7 years is in Daniel's 12. That's when it'll be heightened. That's going to be the tribulation Christ is going to have to save us out of.
I appreciate your time, brother. Thank you very much, Elder. Thank you. That's all I wanted to ask. So that links in with Matthew, the 24 chapters, all right? When Christ was talking about that?
We're talking about really the last 3.5 years that Christ is going to have to save us out of. Yeah. It links in Matthew 24. It started in 70 A.D., but don't forget, it's talking about like a woman in travail, Revelations 12. So a woman can be pregnant, right? And she's going through what? Labor pains. But the closer she comes to that deliverance, the more frequent the pains become until the baby's delivered. So if you look at it from 70 AD, that's when the pain began. We lost Jerusalem. But as we come closer, the Christ is coming. That Daniel's 12 breakdown, that last 3.5 years that Christ is going to have to save us from. And then tell you Matthew 24 and 22, if he didn't cut their time short, speaking of Esau's time, no people would be left on earth, not just Israelites. If Christ don't come back before that time, no people, there will be not one person living on earth. That's how much Satan has perfected his depopulation plan. But I can't put the cart before the horse, because Daniel, the end day prophecy is something that I'm working on for the academy. So you'll see it there. And then I'll roll it out with everyone else. All right?
Thank you, Elder. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bless you, my brother. Hey, folks, that Hebrew Bible Academy, I'm going to tell you right now. the secrets of the times, and I'm going to add that with the Daniel prophecies. 316 area code Sharonda. Sharonda, how are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahia. You know that's the name the Most High gave Moses. You know that, right? When the Most High asked him his name, yeah. But everyone is trying to call him everything else. Yeah, hey. They don't know the power of Ahia.
All right.
They didn't tell me this in the church. You're up.
What they didn't tell me in the church is that demons and unclean spirits are prevalent in our community, and how to get rid of them, where they come from, how to get rid of them. And then they did teach me that the Most High got Mary pregnant, and we know that what comes from a spirit in a human, what it comes from.
Anathema.
So, that's right. So pure blood, which is Christ, is that's impossible. So we are like stirred up in a whole lot of mess when it's with the church.
Yeah.
And we so much so stirred up to where we believe in so much of the rhetoric that they're teaching us, to where like the one brother said that we're blinded even though we're reading it. We've been taught otherwise even when we read it. You know, so we're caught up either way it goes until, like, him himself, when I went through I pretty much had gave up on church. But, you know, the Most High kept on with me. So
that's good.
I decided to go on the internet and hear you guys work. And, you know, here I am.
Hey, sister, you know what they're going to say? It's just, you know, they're going to tell you when you find out, when you tell them you know you're an Israelite, because you know that you're the chosen people of God, because black people aren't allowed to do that.
Well, you're not allowed, family members.
Listen, you're not allowed to say that you're the chosen people. Correct. That's against the rules. So if you're the chosen people, you must be in a cult if you claim to be chosen by God.
Automatic.
So are you ready for the ridicule?
It's already here. I'm getting it from my family. They told me I'm on acid. Told me I'm on acid because I told them they're Israelites.
So, do they know that Israelites are in the Bible? Did you tell them that Christ was an Israelite and that the word Israelite is actually in the Bible? They're God's people.
Yes.
And like there's no such, and matter of fact, there's no such people as Israelis in the Bible. They're Israelites.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Never read it before in my life.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's it.
Hey, I tell you what. We're going to show you what it is, right? We're going to show you what it is right here. This is when you're not in a cult. How about this? I'm going to show you what a cult doesn't look like. This is what a cult don't look like, huh? In the place where it said, "Ye are not my people," there it will be told unto them, "I see you, I call you later, elders."